Let's go out to the lobby. Hey, everybody. Welcome to episode 19 of The Good, The Bad, and The Wretched.
Oh, man, this is becoming like a thing.
My name is Chris. With me is Josh.
Hi.
And today, we decided we would head back on the nostalgia time machine and do ourselves... what is this, Wayne's World? And we decided we're going to talk about movie memories. From when we were growing up and
more recently.
Memories.
Oh,
on
memories.
The corner of my tongue.
Memories.
You know, those things that we always get in trouble about talking about. Memories.
Okay.
Of movies.
Ready.
So let's start off the way we usually do and talk about what we've been watching. But first of all, I think it's time since... We haven't talked about it since we last recorded about two losses in our horror movie community here.
Right.
The first one would be Betsy Palmer.
Yes.
Who a lot of us know as Mrs. Voorhees from the original Friday the 13th.
Yep.
And I just thought it was important that we mention her because if you were like me and you were a kid when you saw that original Friday, she was the creepiest chick you have ever seen in your life. Just walking around, talking in tongues. Get her, mommy. Get her.
Yeah.
Kill her, mommy. And I've heard that she was a super, super nice lady to all of the fans of that movie. And when she was in convention, she would like go out of her way to just be the nicest lady possible to you. And you cannot deny. She was probably the first really chick who creeped me the fuck out when I was growing up. Like, you always had villains in slasher movies that were always male, and then she came along and she was, like, more badass than almost all the other guys who were doing the slicing and dicing in those movies.
It's true.
Plus, she got a really wicked, you know, send-off in that movie that we won't talk about. If you've never seen Friday, which, if you haven't by now and you're on episode 19 of this podcast, there's something wrong with you. Because Josh has pretty much talked about every single Friday the 13th movie.
That's true.
In this segment that we're going to head into after we talk about the one more person and the more important, not to discount Betsy.
No, Betsy Palmer had her thing.
But this one was a big one for us.
Yeah.
And that was the loss of Christopher Lee.
The last living legend.
One of, yes.
Oh, he is the last living.
You think he's the last?
Who else?
Maybe.
Well, the last living legend of like the Hammer era and the Universal era.
You're right on that one.
That's the last of the big ones.
It was a shock to hear, but he lived a long, good life. Made a lot of great movies. Made a really amazing music video that you posted up on Facebook there.
You know, Christopher Lee was the oldest dude to ever record a metal album.
I know.
And he recorded a metal album in his 80s.
My Way.
Well, yeah, and he also did some metal Christmas music.
Did he really?
Yeah, you know, kind of like Twisted Christmas, but... Christopher Lee voice.
That would be pretty awesome.
And he did like a concept album and he did all kinds of metal. He really dug metal.
Huh. That's almost like when Pat Boone tried to do metal, but only better.
Almost not like Pat Boone. It's Christopher Lee, man.
Hey, no more Mr. Nice Guy Pat Boone.
Yeah. And Christopher Lee also had an amazingly huge occult book collection.
Yeah.
Which I didn't know about.
No.
And because I just never think these guys are actually into this stuff.
Well, yeah, because a lot of them weren't.
No, but Christopher Lee was actually really into metal, and he was actually really into the occult. And I think he, he had his moments with Dracula. I don't think he was always a fan of wearing the cape.
Well, especially in like the later ones, like Dracula 1972 AD and things like that, where it went all disco and mod and everything. I'm sure he was probably a little bit like... contractually obligated on those bad boys.
I believe in Dracula Prince of Darkness, I think he refused to speak.
Oh really?
That's why there's, I don't think he speaks in the whole movie, and I think that was, I don't know, this could be an urban legend, but I think that's why he doesn't speak. It was like more of him to kind of screw you.
I always liked Taste the Blood of Dracula as one of my favorites. Just
really?
Because of that title, man. Taste the Blood of Dracula.
Well, he certainly left a pretty great legacy, and I personally think he was... him and Bela were pretty close, but I think Christopher Lee was
best
Dracula.
He was my Dracula because he was the first Dracula I saw
really
growing up.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
Like Lugosi was after him.
Interesting.
It's always the image of Christopher Lee with that famous shot of him with his, like, you know, with his fangs bared and his red eyes just like hissing
scars
at you.
Of Dracula. Yeah,
that's just that image.
Yeah,
just burned itself into my head and never left.
Right on.
But yeah, he did so much work.
Yeah.
And I really, really felt like cranking out some Gremlins 2 in honor of him, because he was pretty hilarious in Gremlins 2.
Right. But on.
Great legacy. Sad to see him go.
What was your favorite Christopher Lee movie?
Well, probably Taste the Blood of Dracula.
Was it? Yeah. Yeah, mine's The Wicker Man by far.
Wicker Man's.
And I think that was his favorite movie too.
Probably. Wicker Man's so, like, it's no Nicolas Cage Wicker Man, right?
Oh God, not the bees! Not the bees! They're stinging my eyes! Let's just pretend that didn't.
No, we were talking about The Wicker Man at my work the other day for some reason.
Why?
Because we were saying how shitty an actor Nicolas Cage is.
Well, he's
fucking terrible, dude. Come on.
But he's got this thing.
He's got this thing?
This Nicolas Cage thing.
He's, what, that watching a train wreck thing?
I haven't seen a Nicolas Cage movie since National Treasure.
He's been good in a couple things, but usually he overacts like there's no tomorrow.
Yeah.
And we were talking about Wicker Man, and apart from that scene with the bees...
Oh, that might have been after National Treasure. That might have been it for me.
It could have been. But after that part with the bees, there's also the part where he's in the bear costume and he punches out a woman.
Yeah, that was pretty awesome.
It's like... It's a fucking horrible movie.
Well, it didn't... Yeah, I mean, just to remake such a classic and blow it.
Why did they even bother, though?
I know. Why did they bother with a lot of these?
Well, but then I also heard The Wicker Tree, which is the sequel to Wicker Man from the same director.
Robin Hardy, yeah.
Just isn't that great either. I haven't seen it, but I've
heard
it's not
that great.
Sometimes
you just can't recapture the magic, right?
Well, especially when it's 30-plus years on, right? Why bother trying?
Yeah, sometimes it's best to just leave things be, Blade Runner. Oops.
Blade Runner. So, yeah, rest in peace, Betsy Palmer.
Yeah.
Rest in peace, Christopher Lee.
For sure.
Let's move on to what we've been watching.
All right.
Why don't you kick us off?
All right, well, I've been kind of around not much lately, so...
It's called vacations in regular life.
Yeah, I've been out of the country.
Which also explains why we're about 2 weeks, 1 or 2 weeks behind in our schedule of actual episodes.
Yeah, I've been away, and I've also been moving, and unfortunately, Chris is going to be away for the next little bit, too, so... Yeah.
So there may be another delay, unfortunately.
A little delay, but then we swear we're going to be on track, and then there'll hopefully be some surprises in the future, too.
Hopefully.
Yeah. Well, I think we can make that happen.
Well, yeah.
It will happen.
It'll happen.
So it's not even a hopefully. It's a, there will be. There I can be confident.
It's just getting the plans done
and
then delivering it to you, good listener.
Correct. Yes.
And speaking of good listeners, I'd like to hope that it's not Josh being a pissy pants last episode that caused this to happen.
I think it was, actually.
But thank you to everybody who actually went to iTunes and gave us a rating and gave us a review. And if everyone could keep doing that, thumbs up.
Yeah, we got two ratings or two reviews. So thank you very much to Jason DeGroot and can't remember what the other
depressed something or other.
Yeah, yeah.
Hopefully he's not depressed when he's listening to this.
He might be now.
Yeah, maybe.
But thank you for those, and thanks for everyone for rating. And you know, tough love works sometimes.
hey, that was the excuse my dad used.
Oh,
and,
no, you know. Let's not bring up your dad.
Not again, Dad. Not again. All it right. Puts the lotion on its skin.
What?
Go ahead.
Is that Buffalo Bill?
Yes.
Oh, okay. Did he have daddy issues?
No. I don't know.
What's that got to...
I don't know. I just thought it was a good thing to be like chanting when your dad's abusing you. That's all.
Keep that in mind. All right.
What do you mean watching? Come on.
Okay, well, the first one I wrote down here is after we did the last podcast.
Oh,
we watched a movie called Spring Break USA.
Well, it's more commonly known as Lauderdale.
Yeah, as in Fort Lauderdale.
Yep.
So this is from 1989. It's a sex comedy.
Yeah, because we always seem to pick sex comedies after we record. I think it's because of all those talks about breasts.
So anyway, I really like this movie. So the first thing I noticed was Jeanine Lendemolder was one of the stars. She was kind of like the the like
she was the dream girl.
The dream girl.
Yeah.
And if you don't know who she is, she became a very famous porn star.
Yeah, this is pre-porn.
Yeah, and she's very beautiful, blonde, California girl, basically. Yeah. And
over the years, she's gathered many, many tattoos.
Yeah, she started out in like B movies, and then she went into porn and got into like the lesbian scenes.
Yeah, I guess the B movies just weren't cutting it.
Yeah, and then she got into the regular porn. But yeah, she got all these tattoos, and I liked her way better without all those tattoos. She got like a sleeve, and they're on her neck now, and whatever. Anyway, she's still pretty.
I don't like fucking neck tattoos.
Oh, I don't either.
I think they're ugly.
Yeah, they're. I don't know.
I don't like them.
Anyway, so I was surprised to see her in this movie.
Yeah, you were actually. We didn't know she was in it, and then as soon as she showed up, Josh was like, "Oh, I'm now more interested in this movie than I was coming in."
Well, it didn't hurt that she was also singing this terrible 80s song.
Oh, yeah, right.
At the same time. That's how she was introduced. So I was not only taken by the terrible 80s lip syncing on the beach, but it was also Janine Lindemulder. She was also married to that Jesse James guy. You know that?
Oh, the one who, yeah.
And then wasn't he with Sandra Bullock?
Sandra Bullock or something. And then he turned out to be like a hardcore racist or something.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. 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 He ended up with that Nazi chick.
Yeah, whatever. Yeah. What a fucking loser, let's put it that way.
Anyway, so as this movie was going on, it became more apparent how Janine Lindemulder got into porn when Ron Jeremy showed up as a biker named Psycho. And a little more research on this movie. The director, Bill Milling.
Yeah, he did a bunch of porn. He got started in the porn. 70s.
A bunch of movies. Actually, I don't really know much about
Blonde
Goddess and Virgin Snow and stuff like that.
This movie is your typical 80s sex comedy, though, like TNA. But it was at the end of the 80s, so it was like when people started not really giving a shit about them.
Yeah.
So it had everything. It was like, your nerdy guy.
Yeah.
Going and trying to find love in Fort Lauderdale and getting into all these situations.
At his college.
Well, yeah, but they go to Fort Lauderdale to try and find love. He chases this dream girl.
He's chasing Janine across the country.
She's kind of got the mob after her for some reason.
Yeah.
And then there's like...
Well, because she's an heiress.
Oh, right.
To some fortune.
See, I kind
of
blocked
out
some of
this
stuff.
And they're trying to get her to change some contract or something. Yeah. So they've got the really dumb mob guys who are totally inept. Yeah.
And you got your wrestling.
Oil wrestling.
Your oil wrestling. You've got your
wet t-shirt contest.
Yeah, everything. Pretty much everything.
You've got surf shops. You've got a bikini car wash. You've got belly flop contest.
Yeah, that belly flop contest is pretty great.
And the token fat guy named Animal.
Yeah.
But I really liked it.
I thought that this was kind of comparable to that movie, The Party Animal, that we always talk about.
It is kind of like The Party.
But I liked The Party Animal more.
I kind of like this better, I think.
Really?
I don't know.
I don't know. I thought it was okay, but...
You weren't into it when we were watching it. It might have been... I was in the mood.
A little bit tired, too, when we were watching it.
Yeah.
So I'm going to use that as an excuse.
I really liked it. The director went on to direct a Women in Prison movie called Caged Fury.
Yep.
And he also co-wrote Savage Dawn, which is kind of
Dawn's like a biker revenge movie, but the cast of Savage Dawn is amazing.
Is it?
George Kennedy.
Oh, cool.
Karen Black.
Nice.
Richard Lynch. Lance Henriksen.
Wow.
That's one amazing cast for a biker revenge movie.
No kidding.
And then he also co-wrote this 1984 slasher movie called Silent Madness, which I've always been interested in seeing.
Okay.
It was released in 3D, and it's got a really epic-looking poster, like this cartoony hand-drawn poster of the killer, like, on a campsite trying to kill a girl, and he's like this bald-headed, like, psychopath-looking guy, and I love that poster.
Wow.
So if you go to Google and check out Silent Madness poster, it's so good.
Wow.
And he also ended up writing a movie that you just bought on one of our thrift store jaunts called South Beach Academy.
Oh,
okay. Which is another sex comedy that's
coming soon, everyone.
That's notable for the fact that it's Corey Feldman.
Yep.
And the main role when he was in his Roger Corman days, when he also did like Rock and Roll High School Forever, which is paired on
the
that
double
feature
on
DVD.
My CD.
And Elizabeth Caton, who Josh and I both appreciate Elizabeth Caton probably more than most people.
Yeah, that's for sure. Anyway, I dug this movie. I enjoyed it. It had all the elements that I'm looking for in a sex comedy. And yeah,
I think out of our all of our post podcast sex comedies we've watched, I liked Lunch Wagon a little better.
Oh yeah, Lunch Wagon. Yeah, that's a tough. That had Pamela Bryant in it. So
oh, so you have to pick between Jeanine.
Well, and those shorts. I mean, I can't get past Pamela Bryant. Yeah, and those shorts.
Like late '70s, early '80s short shorts.
Yeah, okay. I'm gonna give you a Lunch Wagon just because Pamela Bryant. We've already talked
that
about
also,
that.
That also
did you have to bring that up?
That also had inept mobsters in it, though.
They all have inept mobsters.
I know. They need to find a villain somehow.
But Lunch Wagon didn't have a belly flop contest.
That belly flop contest was pretty epic.
Especially when the guy went up on the crane.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, maybe you should watch Lauderdale if you can find it.
Yeah, if I'd you're recommend into that kind it. If you like thing. Sex comedies, yeah. I think it's worth check it out. All right, so I've also decided to start watching a new series.
Oh, geez, what now?
I decided to go for the Alien movies.
Oh, okay. I haven't seen these in a while myself.
Yeah. So I just got a new TV. I got a 55-inch.
Talk about going over the top, man.
It looks quite good. Anyway, I decided that I needed to break this thing in properly, so I thought I'd go with Alien.
Blu-ray.
The first one, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I got that that box set.
Which cut?
I went with the theatrical.
Oh, okay.
Because I heard Ridley Scott only didn't really... Ridley Scott's kind of said that theatrical's...
His version, even though there's a director's cut?
Even the director's cut, I think, was more of a contract thing.
Oh,
like,
okay.
I think they found a bunch of footage, and I think they were going to do it anyway. So he got involved and made it the director's cut.
Oh, but, so he was just like, okay, if you're going to fuck it up, you might as well let me fuck it up.
Exactly. Okay. But I'm pretty sure that Ridley Scott has said that the theatrical that came out originally is the one.
It's the exact opposite of Blade Runner. Because didn't he say his version's...
Well, Blade Runner's a lot more complicated.
Yeah.
Just because they're so different. Mm-hmm. I'm going to watch all the cuts of these movies because each movie in the set has all of them, but has two cuts.
Especially the cut of three.
Yeah. But I'm going to start with theatrical.
The cut of three is better.
Yeah. I'm going to do the theatricals first and then I'll go back.
Oh,
and,
okay.
Going to the director's cut.
Sounds good, because then for Aliens, if you watch the director's cut first, you get another 40 minutes of James Cameron wankery.
Oh, boy. Maybe there'll be more Newt.
Maybe.
Boy, I can't wait.
Fucking Newt. Yeah.
Well, okay.
Get away from her, you bitch!
I don't think I'm going to like Aliens very much. I liked it when I... We've talked about this before, but
yeah.
I just don't think I'm going to like it very much. I don't like Newt. And...
You don't like Vasquez?
Yeah, you know, but I just
come on. You don't like fucking Game Over, man. It's Game Over.
No, yeah. I know. Paul Reiser's pretty good too, but I just think that there's something about Ripley that kind of bugs me, and like I don't like how she kept going back for Newt, that little girl. We've talked about this before, but little girl, you barely know her, but you're risking everyone's
those
life.
Motherly instincts, man.
And she did the same thing in this movie for that stupid cat.
Really? In Alien?
Yeah, she was looking all over for the stupid cat. And I'm like, she's going to die looking for the stupid cat.
She's a
cat.
Humanitarian.
Let the cat go, man.
Ripley the humanitarian.
Let the cat go.
You know, if you want to get a legit Alien movie and you want to pander to Ripley's humanitarian needs, you should like set loose an alien on a Greenpeace vessel. Have fucking Ripley go on there and be like, not only are you not going to soil the earth,
is she into Greenpeace?
Well, I want to save a cat. I love the animals.
Well, if it was a seal hunt.
I
want to
save a little child.
If I let an alien go on a seal hunt, then maybe.
What?
I don't know. I could just, Greenpeace.
So fucking aliens clubbing baby seals and Ripley comes along and is like, not today.
Anyway.
I sent some fan fiction.
I really dug Alien, man. Like, I don't know. It's such a good movie. I mean, from the opening shots, this is, again, it's another one of these ones. It's probably almost a 4 out of 4, if I was going to review it on the site, which I might. But it's just such a good movie.
That's another one of those movies where I always kind of preferred Aliens when I was a kid.
Yeah.
And then when I grew up, as it were.
Yeah.
Which, you know, my mom might disagree that I'm grown up because I'm still watching fucking shitty horror movies all the time and everything, but Alien is the better movie for sure.
Yeah.
Than Aliens. Alien's the one that creeps you out. Alien's the one that gets under your skin, and that Alien's kind of like the Texas Chainsaw of space alien movies, in the sense that you don't see as much as you think you do in that movie.
Right.
Because it's always coming out of the shadows at you and everything, right? Like, the way they've structured, that Ridley Scott structured that movie, he made it very, like, shadowy and, like, mysterious.
Well, did you know that, okay, so Walter Hill produced it.
Yep.
Dan O'Bannon wrote it.
Yep.
And Ridley Scott directed it.
Mm-hmm.
So, apparently, O'Bannon showed Ridley Scott and Walter Hill Texas Chainsaw Massacre.
Oh, really?
To get them into the horror vibe. So a lot of this...
So that makes sense what I just said. A lot of
the horror scenes are based on the influence that Texas Chainsaw had on Ridley Scott.
Well, so see, that's interesting. I didn't even know that. And yeah. I came up with that. So that's pretty cool.
It's super cool. A huge influence on this movie was Texas Chainsaw.
That's the impression I always got from it when I watched it when I was an adult. That it had that same aesthetic and mood as Texas Chainsaw.
That explains.
And now that makes sense.
That's really cool, yeah.
Okay.
Really? You didn't know that?
No, I didn't.
Wow, yeah. That's pretty cool.
I've never really dived into the extra materials for Alien.
Right.
Even though I do have the Blu-rays myself, I've never really gone into it because it's so exhausting what they've put on those sets I'm just like, I don't know if I have enough time to get through all this.
I know. So, I'm like scared. There's like 50 hours of bonus material or something.
That's insane.
Yeah. So that's why I'm just going to watch the movies first. And then, well, that's going to be my new rule. I'm going to just try and watch movies only.
Is it still, obviously the chest burster scene.
Yeah.
Still amazing.
Yeah.
But what's probably your favorite moment of the entire movie, though? Is that it, or is there something different?
No, I'd say my favorite moments are when they're in that Giger landscape and they're like, they come across that kind of like
the cannon thing or whatever it is.
Yeah, and there's
it
like
almost
a,
looks like an alien, like
it's
cannon.
Like a giant alien monster thing, like that's dead sitting behind this cannon.
Yeah,
and then it's John Hurt and Veronica Cartwright and I think Tom Skerritt is there, and they're
so just before
exploring
the
they're exploring this sort of dust. I think it's a ship or a planet or something. Anyway, it's a ship, and then they're
I think it's a ship that's
they're exploring it, and then
planet.
That's how John Hurt gets the facehugger as he falls into this like alien nest. So
that's like in the first,
but
what, 20
I'd say
minutes?
That whole sequence, and probably when I was young, I would have been bored, silly. But just it's so atmospheric, and it's got this Giger landscape, and it's got this really cool lighting. Actually, they borrowed the lighting from The Who.
Really?
Yeah, the Who was using this cool laser lighting on their tour. So the production of Alien borrowed the lighting from The Who's tour, and that's why there's this really cool laser mist over all the
Quadrophenia gigs. Tour, probably.
I don't know what tour it was, but yeah.
Hmm.
Yeah, but anyway, it's that's probably it's more the atmospheric stuff that got me, and the Giger production
design.
Well,
yeah,
that's what I'm saying.
Like, when you're a kid, you're more into the Marines blowing the shit out of everything of aliens, and then when you grow up and you're like, you can tolerate these boring movies, as you might have called them when you were a kid, you can appreciate that tension and that atmosphere that they're bringing to the table, that you might have been a little bit like, when's something gonna happen, when you were like 10 and you watched it.
Totally. And I actually forgot Harry Dean Stanton was in this.
Oh, I didn't.
And the scene where he is gonna meet his demise, he's like kind of looking for the stupid cat again, but that sequence I really enjoyed too. I thought that was very, very well done as well. And again, a lot of mood and a lot of suspense and tension while he's like going around looking for this cat. But just some of the shots there, like there's one shot where he's like looking up, he has his hat on and he's looking up and there's all this water coming down on his face. Very cool. And just that whole sequence I thought
was
pretty awesome.
Someone told the crew of that ship that the cat has 9 lives. They don't.
The cat just is like doom for everyone. And Yaphet Kotto's in this. I forgot about him too. So,
oh, hell yeah.
Yeah.
Yaphet Kotto.
So, yeah, it's just such a solid cast and just the whole look of the movie, and on Blu-ray and especially on the screen, it just looked epic. And I really don't think I'm going to like Aliens very much. And I'm really curious how that's going to pan out. And I'm really curious what I'm going to think of Alien 3 now, because I didn't like it when I was young.
I think you're going to have to approach Aliens with the mindset of kind of blending your childhood aesthetic with being grown up.
Yeah.
And looking at it that way and seeing if maybe there's something you can carry over from when you were a kid into it. Because It's more of an action movie, really.
Michael Biehn might save aliens for me, but if he doesn't, then it's over. Because Ripley certainly not. Because it's that whole end part where she goes in the in that machine thing where she, like, I just, even thinking about it's starting to piss me off. So I don't know, but you know, it's funny though. Like, how could I even be thinking this? It's aliens. Like, I'm supposed to love aliens.
Yeah, you're supposed to.
But it's after seeing this one now, I just don't think anything else is going to compare.
Well, we'll see next time. Next time around, because you'll probably have watched by the time we record again.
Definitely. Okay, and then the other movie I saw was Dead Snow 2.
Yep.
So this
Red versus Dead.
Yeah, directed by Tommy Wirkola.
I just want to say right off the top, I haven't seen the movie.
Yeah.
But it's got one of the most epic taglines ever.
What is it?
The sequel you did not see coming.
Oh, yeah. With did not see coming. Yeah, it's awesome. I love that stuff.
That's the best. And the poster's like a swastika, only they're using the arms as part of the sides of it.
Yeah.
Pretty awesome.
So here's the thing. Okay, so back in the 70s, there was the whole Nazi exploitation thing.
Shockwaves by Ken Reiterhorn.
Well, no, started by Elsa. Started by Elsa.
Yep.
She-Wolf of the SS.
And I just think of Shockwaves compared
to... Well, that came after those. Yeah. So I think what happened is the Nazi exploitation stuff happened. So the Italians and some of the Americans were doing these Nazi movies. So there was that. There was like Elsa Fraulein. Yeah, Elsa Fraulein SS. There was like Red Knights of the Gestapo and SS Hellcamp and SS Love Experiment and all these, like, they were like exploitation movies that had torture. They're basically like torture porn of the 70s.
Yeah.
But they weren't porn. You know what I mean. Anyway. Yeah. So then
by torture porn, Josh means, you know, movies like Hostel and that, where it's like, it seems to be like torture for the sake of having blood on screen.
Yeah. And a lot of exploitation.
Mean-spirited.
And a lot of exploitation of women. So then came along Alan Ormsby and Ken Wiederhorn, who did Shockwaves.
Yeah.
And I guess I think they got influenced by all these Nazi movies and thought, well, hey, well, let's do a horror movie.
Technically, that Jean Rollin movie, Zombie Lake, isn't that also...
That was in the 80s.
That's a Nazi one too, though, right?
Zombie Lake and then Franco's Oasis of the Zombies.
Right, they're both Nazi ones
too. Those were in the 80s.
Okay.
But I think Shockwaves is their first...
Yeah, Shockwaves is 77.
Nazi horror movie, yeah. So, anyway, just for, you know, for the listeners that think that Dead Snow is like this totally original concept, obviously it's not.
No.
And there was also promise of a really cool looking Nazi zombie movie about 10 years ago. Can't remember what it's called though, but I'll try to remember as I'm talking here. But then came along Dead Snow, and you know, I mean, I love zombie movies and, but you know, it just, I really wanted to like it.
I didn't hate it, but I didn't think it was as good as the hype.
No.
When I watch it, like, it had its moments.
Yeah.
But it was kind of like, been there, done that, totally, right? Like, it was like kind of Evil Dead setup with them being trapped in a cabin.
Exactly.
And then they had that guy, that knowing self-referential kind of horror movie fan.
Yeah.
Who would just make all those comments about what was going on in the plot. And I'm kind of tired of that after Scream. I think Scream ruined a lot of horror movies by doing that.
Totally. Yeah. I mean, I liked the villain. I thought he had a really good look.
I like some of the gore stuff in it.
Yeah. But overall, it just didn't really work for me.
Yeah, there was a scene with intestines that was pretty cool.
Yeah, I remember that scene. Yeah. But it was a little more serious. Like, this one was a... Full Dead Snow 2 was a comedy.
Yeah, I heard they went more.
It was more ridiculous. Like Evil Dead 2, yeah, like okay. to Evil Dead 1, right?
And it's the same director.
Not that I'm comparing these to Evil Dead.
Same director.
Tommy Wirkola. Yeah. And in between, he did that Hansel and Gretel Witch Hunters, which I haven't seen, so I can't judge. I don't know. It's got Jeremy Renner in it,
man. Yeah, but it's like fucking, it's almost like that. Remember that atrocity that they called Van Helsing in 2004?
Oh.
That's the thing that it mostly reminded me of. And so that's why I avoided that thing like the plague.
I think it might, I don't know. This guy's...
Bunch of CG and, you know, no thanks.
Yeah. I mean, this is one of these directors that I kind of want to like, but I'm just having a hard time. Like, he's just, like, the movies are just missing. It's kind of like Rob Zombie movies. Like, they're just... There's something not right. There's
I didn't
something
think there was a lot
missing
in Devil's Rejects. I thought Devil's Rejects was a completely solid movie.
Eh.
Okay, well, we'll agree to disagree.
Anyway, so Death Snow 2, yeah, it just continues on with the same lead character from the first one. But this one, they shot it in Norwegian, and they also shot it in English.
Mm-hmm.
And there was some American cast members as well. I didn't recognize any of them. I know one of them's been around, like the guy. He's been in like Silicon Valley, and I think this girl I was talking to also mentioned that he was in, I think he might have been in Freaks and Geeks, and he's been around a bit in mm-hmm. some TV shows and stuff.
It's too bad it wasn't Sam Levine.
Sam.
That would have been awesome.
No, it would not have been awesome.
Little Wolverine.
Sam Levine would, no, that wouldn't have worked at all. But anyway, I did kind of enjoy those guys in this. But again, I just was kind of like, eh.
That's like the,
the crowd I watched it with really liked it.
That's the thing though, right? Is that it's come to a point now that a lot of horror movies are just doing that outrageous over the top thing and just getting ridiculous.
Yeah.
And you know, and there's just so many of them now that you're just kind of tired of it. You're just like, oh yeah, okay, here we go again.
Exactly.
Yeah, oh, another gore gag. Ha ha. You know, I'm just, no thanks. I'm kind of bored.
Like, and I was kind of let down because I was like,
the originators are like Peter Jackson, Bad yeah. Taste, and like Evil Dead 2 and things like that. And
but this one didn't even do that. Like, there's this big, this is not a spoiler, there's a big, it's called Red versus Dead, for God's sake. So there's obviously a big battle in the movie at some point.
Yeah, there's fucking tanks.
And I thought the battle was going to be a gore fest.
Right.
I was expecting, like, the end of Dead Alive. I thought there'd be limbs flying everywhere.
Well, that's what you would think.
It just didn't deliver that way.
Huh.
And I, like I said, I watched it with a crowd. I know most of the people were super into it. Just not working for me.
Hmm.
So, like, I'm not looking forward to Dead Snow 3. You know, this is what it is. It was fun to watch.
A third one?
I don't know.
Okay.
But it is what it is. It was fun to watch, but I don't think I'll watch this again, ever.
Yeah, it's not going to be like one of those movies like Evil Dead 2 where you can go back and watch it anytime you feel like.
Yeah, it's just not one. It's just not that classic
or
status.
Or Dead Alive.
That, yeah, I was
like
just kind of hoping this would be, you know, you're always looking for the next classic that you're going to remember, but I don't know. Maybe it's my age. Maybe it's just I've seen so much. I don't know. But there's still movies that still knock my socks off. This just isn't one of them.
You said it was better than the first one, though.
I did enjoy it better than the first one. I barely remember the first one.
Okay.
Which says a lot about what I thought of it, right? I really don't remember a lot about the first one.
Well, yeah. Either do I, really.
Yeah. Anyway, that's pretty much all I got.
Okay. Well, I did have Lauderdale written down on mine.
Nice.
But we covered that. So let's talk about the very low budget, I guess, path I've been taking since last time we've talked here. And I want to start with a movie called Drive Hard, which I just
watched.
The
Nick Cage thing?
No, that's Drive Angry.
Oh.
Drive Hard is a 2014 Australian movie directed by Brian Trenchard-Smith, who made Stunt Rock, Man from Hong Kong.
Right, yeah.
Night of the Demons 2. And
Dead
End Drive-In and Leprechaun 3 and 4, unfortunately.
Yeah.
But this is a low-budget kind of car chase action movie starring Thomas Jane from The Punisher.
Yeah.
2004 Punisher and John Cusack.
Yeah, no, I want to see this.
And I have never... Okay, so John Cusack in the last, 5 years or so?
10 years.
Is it 10 years?
Well, since Gross Point Blank, really.
Well, he's gone on to this thing where he's just making all these direct-to-DVD weird movie, like action movies and thrillers and stuff. It's all stuff you would never expect Lloyd Dobler to be making in the future, because John Cusack in the 80s, he was like the everyman comedy guy, and like he was kind of like, yeah, he's cool, he's, you know, likable, he was a likable dude. You could never picture him like shooting a gun at anyone or any of that kind of stuff, right? But in Drive Hard, he plays a bank robber.
Weird.
Like, he's basically a bank robber. So the story is that Thomas Jane's
awesome.
Thomas Jane is awesome.
Is he awesome in this?
He's pretty good.
He's always awesome.
He's pretty good.
Yeah.
The Mist is where he's at his most awesome.
And The Punisher.
Yeah. I really liked him as The Punisher. I know a lot of people won't agree with me, but, you know, fuck them. But in Drive Hard, he plays a kind of like a former race car driver.
Okay.
Who's now working for a driving school in Australia. And John Cusack shows up one day and wants him to take him out for lessons. So he's taking him out for these lessons. There's all this comedy at first about how John Cusack can't drive. You know, he's he's terrible at driving, and there's all this humor about them interplaying between each other, bickering with each other. He's like, oh, just pull over the curb here for a minute. Pulls over the curb. John Cusack goes and robs fucking bank.
Okay.
So then he's like, drive, drive, drive. So the rest of the movie is kind of a car chase movie of Thomas Jane driving Cusack around while the cops are chasing him, and then the mobsters are who want back what Cusack stole are chasing him. There's all these set pieces and, you know, lots of bickering between the two leads, which honestly made this movie.
Right.
Because the action sequences from a guy like Brian Trenchard-Smith who knows how to do car chases,
yeah,
they just weren't quite there for me. It wasn't quite what I wanted from it. I mean, they were okay. There's some humor in it. It was just the interplay between the two main actors was really fun to watch.
Right,
like, I really enjoyed them bickering with each other and, like, just making, like, little snide remarks to each other, and that kept me in the movie for the entire time. Not a bad little movie. I'd probably recommend you check it out if you're interested in, like,
yeah, I definitely want to
lower
see
budget action movies, or, like, you just want to see what the hell happened to John Cusack, because this is the first one I've seen of his direct-to-DVD stuff, and I'm just, like, I'm still weirded out by it. Like, yeah. Seeing him holding a gun and like trying to act like a badass is just, I still find it weird.
Oh, I know. He's just, I don't know.
I'm never going to picture him as anything but like, you know, Better Off Dead, Say Anything, that kind of stuff. I mean, I know he held a gun Gross Point Blank because he's a former hitman.
Yeah.
But that was done with more comedy and more of that high school reunion bent to it. So it's like, I didn't really absorb him as like a bad guy in that movie, where in this one, he's supposed to be like this bad guy, and it was a weird,
it's just funny, how did he not become like, he was a pretty big star.
Yeah, and then he just, you know, the guy passes a Hot Tub Time Machine too to be in Drive Hard, I guess.
Wow.
I just like how generically titled it is too.
Yeah,
Drive Hard. It's like,
yeah,
okay guys. But yeah, I watched that. It was pretty good. I'm not gonna say it sucked. I'd say if you're into that kind of stuff, check it out. I also watched another action movie, another low-budget action movie, this one from Canada, called Bounty Hunters, a.k.a. Jailbreakers, I think it's called. No, Bail. I don't remember the other title, but Bail Jumpers, that's it. And it stars former WWE diva Trish Stratus.
Oh, my God. Lead role. Really?
Yeah.
So it must have been filmed in Toronto.
It was filmed in Toronto. Yeah. It's an 80-minute movie, and it's just about them. She's part of this bounty hunting team who have to, like, you know, they get involved with the mob. Surprise, surprise. And there's a lot of shootouts and kidnapping and all these shenanigans going on. I thought it was hilarious that Trish Stratus actually, she's a bounty hunter by day, but a strip club bartender at night.
Oh.
So it's kind of like Angel, right? Where she's like, I'm a bounty hunter, but I also serve drinks in a peeler bar.
So does...
She doesn't show her goods, Josh. Sorry, dude. But...
How did you know I was going to ask that?
I can just tell by that glimmer you got in your eye. But it wasn't great. I'm not going to say it was great, but she was really kind of good in it. She has a lot of fight scenes in it, and she's fairly competent in them. I guess all of her fake wrestling skills came to play. And she has this really wicked fight with this Asian girl in a bathroom that was just like, oh, man, more of that. More of that in this movie would be over the top awesome.
Well, any girl that's doing wrestling, I don't care who it is, you got to be pretty tough.
Well, yeah. I mean, think of that local wrestling, that ECCW we watch sometimes out here.
Did I didn't tell you this.
Oh, God, what?
Out in,
they had an all-women's one.
In Cloverdale. It's this Friday. Weekend. It's my birthday weekend.
It's this Friday.
Yeah, man.
Oh, too bad I'm going away.
Yeah.
But, yeah.
I might go check it out.
So Bounty Hunters was pretty good. I'm not going to... If you're into low-budget action movies, check it out. Or if you want to see if Trish Stratus can actually maybe be competent in one of these things. Yeah, she's pretty good.
Right on.
Pretty good. Then it's when I headed towards horror movies, because what would be complete without me watching horror movies? I'm just going to quickly go over the ones I watched so we can get on to our movie memories here. I watched a movie called Roadkill, which was selected the lovely readers of
the
site.
Better you than me.
it's a Australian horror movie. Its original title is Road Train. Hmm. It's about these couples camping in the outback who get run off the road by a 18-wheeler rig. And it's kind of like, starts off wanting to be Duel. And I was like, okay, that's cool. I like Duel. You know, I like these movies.
Or Joyride.
Or Joyride or The Car or any of these countless vehicle driven by a sketchy person running people off the road kind of movies.
Or not a person.
But then it got It got ridiculous. It was basically, the truck was a demonic vessel that possessed people, and there's all, made them do all these things where kill each other. And the script made no fucking sense. I'm watching it. I'm going, what the hell is going on here? This is stupid. And it's one of those, it was part of the Fangoria Fright Fest that they did in 2010, where they put up 8 movies and then you got to vote on which movie got to play theatrically. And I'd like to think that this movie's the one that got the least votes.
So only one of them got to play
theatrically? Only one of them got to play theatrically.
What one, do you know?
I don't know what one, but the other movies in the series are actually sound pretty good. Like there's the Fragile, which stars Calista Flockhart and is directed by Jamie Balaguero, who did Wreck. And another one's Pig Hunt, which is directed by James Isaac, who did Jason X. And then Darren Scott's Dark House. And Darren Scott was involved with one of my absolute favorite anthology movies, Tales from the Hood.
Oh, he also did a movie called Caught Up that's really great.
Oh, yeah. You've mentioned that in the past, and you really liked that movie. But yeah, it was terrible. And avoid it, people. Just avoid it.
Really? Wow.
The other two horror movies I watched are actually pretty good. I'd been hearing about this British slasher movie called Stitches from a couple years ago.
Okay.
And it's a clown slasher movie.
Oh.
So it's basically this drunken, loudish clown who's played by a comedian called Ross Noble, who I wasn't aware who he was.
Is he like Shakes the Clown?
Not quite Shakes level. And if you haven't seen Shakes the Clown, it's a 1991 Bobcat Goldthwait movie that is awesome. And so he goes to this kid's birthday party, and you know, he sucks as a
Gacy?
No. He sucks as a clown, and the kids make fun of him, and he has an accident where he falls face first onto a butcher's knife that's sticking up on the rack of the dishwashing machine.
Sold!
So he gets, years later, when these kids have grown up, he comes back from the grave to exact his revenge during a house party.
That's amazing.
It's got lots of puns. The gore in it's awesome. There's a scene in it, and I'm going to ruin this because it's so awesome, where he pulls out one guy's guts and makes the intestines into a balloon animal.
No way.
Fucking awesome.
Oh, my God. Yeah.
Like, the gore in it's awesome. The humor's pretty good. It was a fun movie, so you should check that out. It's called Stitches.
Is he making quips throughout?
He does make quips throughout. It could have been a little bit better, admittedly, but I was entertained by what I saw. And the gore, the deaths were just ridiculously over the top. There's something involving an air pump. There's something involving balloon animals. It plays on all those clown.
Right on. Oh, I totally want to check this out.
And the last thing I want to mention was a movie called House with 100 Eyes.
Right.
Which is a new release from a company called Artsploitation Films. And I just published the review for it on the website yesterday, the day before we recorded this. And it's kind of a found footage meets documentary, in the sense that it's a couple who seem to be like a normal American couple who make snuff films.
Oh, okay.
And they have this thing where they've planted 100 cameras throughout their house so they can, like, give their viewers a little bit something more exciting than just the kills. So they can learn the lead up to the murders and see how their normal life is. So there's all these black humor scenes of, like, the wife making a bundt cake and the husband being all concerned that, oh, this footage, if it goes out, I don't want people to think I'm going to look like an asshole. Do you think I'm going to look like an asshole if they put this footage out? And it shows them, like, stalking people. And they eventually decide they want to do what's never been done before and have 3 kills in one night. So they go and pick up their victims, and then the rest of the movie just follows the night of them at home with their victims, where they've convinced these kids to come back and said, you know, we're going to make this amateur porn. We got free drugs. We got free alcohol. We'll give you some money. How about you come back to our house? And it goes from there. And it's got some pretty graphic violence in it. It's stars is written and co-directed by a guy called Jim Roof.
Okay.
And it's the highest compliment I can pay him, is the fact that when you're watching a horror movie, if an actor can manage to creep you out in that movie, he's done his job. And he creeped me the fuck out through most of this movie.
Really? Because
he has a very, very short fused temper in it. So he could be acting normal the next minute, and the next minute he's just fucking lost it.
Wow.
And throwing the fact that he's completely psychotic. Yeah. It was a really good low budget movie. The co-director is Jay Lee, who, if you're into horror movies, you would know from making a movie called The Slaughter in 2006, which is kind of an Evil Dead inspired movie. And he also made Zombie Strippers.
Oh.
Which you enjoyed, but I haven't seen.
Yeah, I like Zombie Strippers.
He's also got this really really fun sounding exploitation throwback Miss 45 inspired movie called Gutter Slut coming out.
Nice.
Which is about a prostitute gunning down people. So yeah.
Cool.
So yeah, a good movie. Check her out.
So what's it called again?
House with a 100 Eyes.
And where do I get it?
It's out on DVD now from Artsploitation Films.
Okay, cool.
So you can order it from their website or probably get it anywhere online.
Sounds like a good one.
It's pretty good. I was very, very surprised because I wasn't sure what to expect because the back of the DVD box said that it was American Psycho meets This is Spinal Tap.
Oh, nice.
Totally not. But anyway, nice. Let's move on to our movie memories.
Just let me say just about Dead Snow, too. I just want to go back to it for one sec.
Sure.
I know a lot of people really like this movie, so I'm really sorry if I, you know,
I'm sorry that I don't have the same taste as
well,
you.
Well, you know, I just don't want people to think I'm a douche. I just, yeah, I just.
But didn't. You are a douche.
I just didn't, but a lot of people really like it, so.
The thing is, Josh, different strokes. That's I'm true. Sure a lot of people wouldn't like House with 100 Eyes.
Yeah.
It's not for everybody.
No, I'm going to watch that
If you're not into like kind of torture-y movies, not for you.
Yeah.
That's just the way it goes.
And I'm not, but it still sounds really interesting, and as does Stitches. So I'm going to try. I'm going to check both
Stitches
of those.
Stitches is pretty fun.
But I think I'll, I don't know if I have the other one, Roadkill. I don't know if I own that or not.
Dude, you don't want to.
It sounds like I should get rid
of it. It's one of those ones that I bought. Remember when we went on our binge buying $2 horror movies at Halloween?
Yeah.
That's one of them.
Okay.
Yeah. Bad.
I think I might have had that in my hand and put it back, and then you grabbed it.
And then I was like, okay, Roadkill, what the fuck? Yeah, truck running over people. Yeah, it's got one of those typical boxes with the chick reaching for you while she's got this big 18-wheeler.
Oh, the old reaching for you, yeah.
The reaching for you picture with the 18-wheeler behind you burning down. And look, there's a skull superimposed over the grill of the truck. This is going to be awesome. Yeah, fuck that movie.
Oh, wow.
Anyway, let's talk about some movie memories.
All right.
So, when I made my list, I kind of limited it to theatrical, but you said you had something else in mind?
Well, no, I think, I don't know. Okay, so the idea here
we just wanted to hit nostalgia because, A, not as much research, because coming off of downtime, we just thought we'd like to do something breezy and fun, and it seems like a lot of people kind of dug our last nostalgia episode.
Yeah.
Where we talked about how awesome Weird Al was.
Well, it's just, I'm kind of looking at it as a way for people to maybe get to know us a little better.
Yeah.
I mean, I think it's kind of fun.
We could sit here and spew facts at you forever, but.
Yeah. And I just kind of wanted to talk about, I mean, we're going to avoid video stores and VHS and all that stuff.
Yeah, because I want to hit a topic on that in the future.
That's its own topic. Yeah. So I thought it would just be more about, you know, just memories of, you know, the cinema, because. Like going to the actual movie theater.
It's a big part of our lives.
It's a big part of our lives. I thought we could maybe talk a little bit about, you know, some of our earliest movie memories.
Mm-hmm.
And and maybe just, you know, just
any funny stories and things like that.
Kind of a bit more of an insight as to how we sort of got into it.
More easy breezy, like CoverGirl.
Ha ha.
That was a bad one.
But it's what you think of when you hear easy breezy, at least in our age demographic.
I think of that or Lady Gaga.
Easy breezy?
Easy breezy.
Is she easy?
Oh, she looks it.
I don't know. She's.
I don't want to find out.
She wears meat dresses.
Yeah, well. At least when you're done with her, you can flip her over onto a grill and have a nice steak dinner.
She seems all right, man.
Okay, let's move on because this is going off the rails.
Anyway, I just thought it would be a good idea to like talk about some of the. Just reminiscing and, you know, just because I often think about how did I. Get here. how did I get into the horror genre?
Josh, I think I know how you got here, buddy.
No, but why am I... Yes, I know my mom and dad had sex. But how did I get into movies? Like, what got me into this? Why the obsession? Why am I so into it at this age? Why am I still into genre movies so much? Like, why do I like genre movies more than Academy Award nominees?
Because
I know you're a little more into that stuff, but I just rarely get attracted to that type of stuff.
I'm into that kind of stuff, but I'm not really into
that kind of, we're talking about it like it's some like foreign thing.
Critically acclaimed. Bad. No. It's like caveman seeing fire. Fuck you. I want tits.
But no, I mean,
Linda Blair.
I'll always go. I do enjoy that stuff, but unfortunately, most of the time, if I'm given a choice between some sort of genre movie, whether it be horror or sci-fi or action, I'm probably going to go for that before I go for the drama.
Well, yeah, I'm like that in my...
Or the comedy.
I'm like that in my home viewing, for sure.
Yeah.
But I like to, you know, most of the movies I go see are kind of, you know, I do go to the odd genre movie now, but because genre movies are so hard to get into theaters these days...
They are.
I kind of find the quirkier kind of...
Yeah.
You know, dramedies and stuff like that. I kind of dig going to those.
And you don't like the big action movies.
Yeah, I don't really like the big special effects superhero movies that are out these days. Like, I made an exception for Fury Road, obviously.
Yeah.
And I did enjoy Guardians of the Galaxy.
Yeah.
And I did like the first reboot of Planet of the Apes, the Rise of the Planet of the Apes. But I don't go out of my way to go see them. Like, I'm not going to go see Jurassic World, because I've always said Jurassic World, just throw a fucking hockey mask on that dinosaur and you've got what that movie is. It's like basically a dinosaur slasher movie from the looks of it.
But you like slasher movies.
But I'm just not into all that CG. I'm just not my thing.
Right. So that's the thing, right? Like, why... It's interesting. Like, why am I going to go see all that stuff, right? Like, I still do get excited about that stuff.
Well, I think you still go to that stuff because you're remembering the times when we were younger when there were the events.
Yeah.
And you're hoping for another one of those moments where, because you said that you thought the new Star Wars is going to be an event, right?
I think those moments are dead.
There hasn't been that. And I don't even feel like...
It is. Mark my words.
I don't... No, but you know what I mean? Like, I don't feel like there's events anymore in the sense that, just because you're going to see a movie at 10 p.m. on a fucking Thursday, the day before it's supposed to come out, that does not make it an event. That makes it... The studio wants to get some extra fucking money from you.
It's true. And what's interesting about Jurassic World is that it should be a movie that I am so excited about. But that's where CGI's kind of wreck things for me. And that's the big difference I find nowadays. Because when I was younger, you used to really get excited. I remember even all through my 20s being really excited for movies that are coming out and being there on opening weekend. Now I'm just like, I kind of know what it's going to be. Well, yeah. I know what Jurassic World's going to be. I'm still going to see it, but I kind of know what it's going to be. But the thing is, when we were younger, or maybe the way movies were being made back in the day, you didn't know what you were going to see. Well, you'd go to these things and it would blow your socks off imagination. A lot of the time. And I think Star Wars is going to do that. But yeah, it's just different. But is it our age? Is that the other thing? If you took a 10-year-old to Jurassic World, maybe their socks would be knocked off.
Yeah, but that's what they're used to, you see. I'm used to practical effects. I'm used to more imagination.
Yeah.
I don't feel like the movies nowadays have as much imagination.
No, it doesn't look like...
They're all just like retreads and, you know...
And you know Star-Lord or whatever his name is going to survive Jurassic World. Like,
and the problem
I'm not worried that he's going to get killed off, you know?
Like, the problem I also have with modern day movies, like Hollywood movies, is that I find CG to be kind of distracting a lot of times. Like,
yeah.
I just find it to not... Like, sure, you can do all this stuff that you couldn't do maybe in older movies, like have your characters doing things you can't. Like, you can have Iron Man fucking blowing through a building or something, but it doesn't look good to me for the most part. It looks like it's got a sheen of, like, Vaseline over top of it. It just looks fake.
Well, it's too much, right? Like you can't defy... We've talked about this before. You can't defy the laws of physics. Like, you need to... I want to see shit that I know is... Oops. That I know... is being done for real,
but
whether
just,
it be stunts or makeup effects.
Just CG seems to have this kind of like unnatural lighting to it.
No, yeah, it's got
that kind of...
It's like got a filter on it,
that
too.
That kind of takes me out of it a lot of times.
Yeah.
And I, you know, like that's about Fury Road, right? You could tell there was some enhanced CG in it,
yeah.
But everything in that was legit.
Yeah.
And I've had arguments with people since that movie come out about what's legit in it. And then I'm like, go and look at some fucking articles and you'll see how legit it is. Like, I just read something about that even today where they're talking about how the stuntmen were afraid of the tanker rolling over. So they undid their fucking safety harnesses before they started filming so they could jump out of the way if it was to roll over during the stunt sequences.
Wow.
You know, you don't see that these days. You don't see fucking Sandra Bullock, like, worried about that. You see her in front of a green screen.
Sandra Bullock.
You see her in front of a green screen. Help! I'm lost in space! I'm lost in space!
But I'm going to get a Best Actress nomination.
I better curl into a ball in front of this green screen and cry!
I haven't seen that movie.
I don't want to see it.
Have you seen it?
No. I'm just still mad that he won Best Director. I'm going to win Best
Director. Seems like the kind of movie you'd go see, though.
I will win Best Director for Green Screen. No.
It was like a Nazi Spaniard.
It's like Red versus Dead. Sandra Bullock, come on over here. We are going to fight Adolf Hitler. You look Jewish. You're not blonde-haired, blue eyes.
Wow.
That's in my movie memories of being like, I was a teenage Nazi.
Is that a movie?
No.
No.
But they did save Hitler's brain.
They did.
That's a movie. But this has got nothing to do with movie memories. So I was thinking about, what's your first actual memory of going to a movie that you have? Like for me, I mean, the standard answer is I remember going to see Bambi when I was a kid. And,
funny, because Bambi is one of mine.
But for me, I mean, I know I saw Bambi when I was a kid.
I just remember being fucking terrified in Bambi.
Yeah, like when the mom dies or whatever.
There was a forest fire or something. Yeah,
like all that stuff. But I know I probably saw
Bambi. Spoiler alert.
Whatever. Everyone's seen fucking Bambi by now. Everyone saw Bambi when they were two.
I didn't see it when I was two.
But I recall seeing it. But yeah. My two biggest childhood movie memories is and one of them's not actually going to a movie theater. It was back in the day when my sister was in grade school, they used to do a thing on the weekends where they would have the gymnasium and they would put on movies.
They still do that
with a projector.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah.
And they'd put it on and they'd sell popcorn for a dollar.
Yeah, they still do that.
Set up their chairs and you would go do it. And they were doing The Ghost and Mr. Chicken, starring Don Knotts.
Yeah.
Which, if you've seen this movie, it's just your ridiculous, silly, haunted house movie and Don Knotts doing his klutzy, hey, I'm Barney Fife kind of stuff, right? Through the whole movie. And I remember I went because, you know, my sister wanted to go and it was a weekend and I was really young. No concept of movies particularly.
Yeah.
And I was we'll go see this movie. I was all excited. Left in the first 5 fucking minutes.
Were you scared?
Scared.
Yeah.
I was like, just when he pulls up to that haunted house and it's all looking all run down and there's all these fucking noises, I'm like, I'm out. I was like, I won't go home. I mean, Ghost and Mr. Chicken, come on. I can go and sit through fucking anything Eli Roth can throw at me now. But you friggin' throw Don Knotts in a haunted house at me when I'm four or five and I'm done.
Yeah. But you were four or five.
That's true.
It was
I wouldn't
scary.
Want a 4 or 5 year old to be watching a
movie.
But I also, the other one I remember is going to see E.T. the Extraterrestrial in theaters.
Oh, okay.
Like everybody did in 1982.
See, I don't remember. That one doesn't have a
I remember because I went with,
with me.
I went with my mom and I went with my sister and I remember crying my eyes out at a certain scene in that movie.
Sissy boy.
It was fucking 7. But I remember crying my eyes out. And E.T. was one of those. Okay, E.T. was probably the first time, not knowingly, subconsciously, that I realized that movies were magical. In the sense that you're a kid,
true.
You're going to see these movies, you're buying into this. You're buying into the fact that there's a possibility that this cute little alien could come down to Earth and become your buddy.
Yeah.
You know, you didn't realize this was special effects. You're 7, you're like, holy, look at that alien.
Yeah.
That thing's cool, right? You invest yourself. You invested yourself in this character, and it was magic. And this is your first time I remember having that magic. Like, I just saw something that means something. This is important. You know?
Right.
That's what I'm talking about there.
It's so how old were you when E.T. came out?
7.
Right. Okay. Interesting.
So you got to think about it, right?
Yeah.
Like, it wasn't much longer after I saw E.T. that I had that traumatic experience with Nightmare on Elm Street.
Yeah.
You know, so it was like the road was already paved with E.T., but that's the time I remember it being magical. Like, that's the first time my brain was like, this is something special and important.
But everyone has that feeling. So what makes you latch onto it in the way you have?
I don't particularly think everybody has that feeling.
You don't think every kid that was 7 at the time had that feeling when they saw E.T.?
Well, I think what makes you latch onto it is maybe where you take that from. Like, if you're the kind of person who your family goes to a movie once every 6 months, then maybe. But I was living at the time where, you know, I was 7, but then I also lived in the Toronto area of Ontario, where they had a channel called City TV, which would play lots of movies. And they would play these movies generally, you know, uncut,
yeah,
with commercials. And then at the same time, too, it was at the beginning of the time of, like, movie channels and things like that, you know, pay TV. And I had a friend down the block who had pay TV.
Right.
So we would watch movies at his house all the time on weekends. You know, that's when I saw American Ninja for the first time and things like that, nice. Right? Like, he had that going for him. And then also around that time, because movie channels were free, they would have free weekends.
Right.
You got to remember these free weekends, right? Where from Friday night till Sunday night, channels were free for everybody.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
I would binge watch the shit out of those weekends. That's the first times I would see stuff like, you know, Maximum Overdrive and Critters and, you know, The Kindred and all these, like, yeah, cool 80s horror movies and stuff.
So you were around 12 at this time?
86, I would have been around 11, 12, yeah.
Right, nice.
So, but E.T. is the magic moment that I remember thinking, you know, like, this is something. And then after E.T., you know, I would watch movies on TV a lot.
Yeah.
Because once you're kind of like, when you're a kid, you watch a lot of TV, and then you just kind of, like, glom onto certain things. And I always would be like, I'm not really into sitcoms or whatever. Like, you know, I like my cartoons on Saturday mornings, but, yeah, you know, your parents would be watching something like Close Encounters of the Third Kind or something. And, yeah, you would just, you know, it was always that fantastical stuff that would draw you in.
Yeah.
And that's, I think it's me starting with something fantastical like E.T. that kept me ensnared in that right to today.
Mm-hmm.
It's just something that, like, if I would have saw something like, you know, unexciting for one of my first movies, I probably wouldn't be how I am now.
Yeah.
But there's always that something that, you know, with E.T., you know, it's a science fiction story, but it's got a lot of heart, and it's, you know, it's something that speaks to you as a kid because the main character in it is a child, and, you know, and he has this secret from his parents that's really cool and everything, and it's just, it just plays to you when you're young because you're just like, I want to be like those kids. They're cool. And they have this friend.
Yeah.
And stuff like that. You know, like, I think that's what did it for me.
It's interesting because, like, a movie like E.T., I feel, should have made a big impression on me.
And didn't.
It didn't. I mean, the movie did. Of course it did. I mean, of course it did.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't have that memory of the
but
scene.
But you were also a little bit older than me.
A little. When did E.T. come out again?
82.
So I was 10.
Yeah.
Should have been a perfect time.
Yeah, but you would have had the opportunity to have seen Star Wars by then, too.
So my first movie memory is Star Wars.
The original. Like the A New Hope.
Yeah. So I saw Star Wars in the original theatrical run when I was 5. And I don't remember much. Well, I remember...
I'd imagine when you're 5, you wouldn't, really.
Okay, it's interesting, though. I do remember going to the theater.
Yep.
Because I was like, I guess my in my memory, I'm like, why were we standing in line to go to a movie?
Yeah.
So I remember that, because it was at the West Van Odeon, and I clearly remember going there. And then I fell asleep. But I also remember, this is the only other memory I have of Star Wars, my dad waking me up as they were going into the trash compactor. And I clearly remember that scene.
But then you fell back asleep.
And then I fell back asleep.
Why did you have to wake up during one of the weaker scenes of that movie?
I love that scene.
That trash can pack? I don't really
like it.
It's
like my favorite scene in the movie.
Really?
Well, okay. not as much, but it still has but it's interesting how I remember that so clearly. Why? Like, it's like what you said about E.T. I must have known as that was happening that was important. That what I was seeing was important because it stuck.
Well, yeah, because it takes you out of the reality of things. And when you're not processing that it's make-believe,
yeah,
it's going to stick with you.
Yeah. After that, I remember going to see Star Trek the Motion Picture with my grandma and being disappointed.
I think everybody was disappointed in Star Trek the Motion Picture.
And then the next, there's two others. I really remember, even the drive out to the theater to go see Raiders of the Lost Ark for the first time. And so that was in 81, 82.
Yeah.
But I remember driving out there and asking my grandma, because I'd seen the poster, what it was, what were we going to see, and talking about it, and then going in, and my mind was blown. And that got me crazy over movies.
Yeah.
I remember I bought the screenplay. It had pictures in it, like storyboards, and I read that, so I had memorized it. And then when video came out, I used to sit there in front of the TV reading the screenplay along with the movie. Like, I was obsessed with Raiders of the Lost Ark. And then there used to be, back in those days, there used to be a lot of, for the bigger movies, there used to be specials on TV. Like, there was a show called That's Incredible. Mm-hmm. Do you remember that show?
Yeah, I remember.
Well, they do a lot of features on stuntmen and stuff. But there was also, like, specials that would come on about the making of Star Wars or the making of Raiders of the Lost Ark, or how did they do the stunts, or how did they do the effects. And that really got all that behind the scenes stuff. That really got me excited.
Plus, you also had the Star Wars holiday special.
True. I also remember going to Universal Studios at a really young age and seeing behind the scenes, and just that whole world. I just remember just being completely floored.
I think it's weird for me in the sense that it sounds like for you, your family was into movies. Whereas I felt like mine wasn't really. Like, we were just, my family was just kind of like, would take us to movies just so they could keep us occupied for an afternoon,
right,
or something. Like, I remember my dad taking me to, like, Strange Brew.
Really?
And, like, High Road to China with Tom
Strange
Selleck.
Strange Brew is a Canadian comedy, yeah, for those of you who don't know.
Bob and Doug McKenzie from SCTV. And
I don't know if American people would know what
Rick
Strange
Moranis
Brew is.
And Dave Thomas.
Yeah.
Strange Brew's got a cult following.
In America?
I think so.
You think?
Okay. It's pretty great. They have freaking Todd McFarlane made some action figures of Bob and Doug McKenzie, man.
Okay.
I have them at home.
Did you ever own the album?
Yeah. Great White North.
With Geddy Lee.
Geddy Lee
doing
Takeoff.
Takeoff! To the Great White North.
And they did their 12 Days of Christmas. On the first day of Christmas, my true love gave to me
a beer in the barnyard. Or was it in
a tree? Five golden toques. Because they always, the typical stereotyped Canadian who all we do is drink beer. Which we're doing right now, but never mind. But... But yeah, I remember that. Like, I just feel like it was like almost like a babysitter in a sense that TV was for me in a way. Because I don't remember my parents being heavily into movies. Like, I remember watching them on TV a lot. I remember having a lot of free reign when I was a kid to watch whatever I wanted on TV too, though, right?
Right.
So, like, on Sunday afternoons, I'd be watching those Godzilla movies and Kung Fu movies and stuff like that. Like, I remember seeing Godzilla versus King Kong when I was really young and thinking
right
that was like the greatest movie ever because it was like two titans finally meeting and
yeah,
things like that. Well, not really two titans. It's more like Kong getting drunk off of like coconut juice and Godzilla hammering on him. But it's just,
I just remember Godzuki in all those movies.
Godzuki?
Do you remember Godzuki?
Isn't that the little baby?
Yeah.
Oh, God, I hated Godzuki.
How could you hate Godzuki?
It's almost like Godzuki's like almost as much of a plague as Scrappy Doo.
What's wrong with Scrappy Doo?
Oh, we're not going to get into what's wrong with Scrappy Doo.
Godzuki was cute, though. He couldn't actually blow flames, so it was just a little bit of smoke that came out. But I remember the...
That's when Toho started pandering to the younger crowd.
I remember the weekends too, though. But I mean, my dad was into movies. My dad especially. And I remember we used to watch every Sunday, there'd be a thing called Sci-Fi Theater on. And they'd play all the old sci-fi movies.
Them and the Blob and
well,
stuff.
Well, a very clear memory. I remember watching The Green Slime on there.
Yeah.
And I remember watching War of the Gargantuas on there.
Oh, Green Slime with its most amazing theme music.
And the most terrible monster. But yeah, I mean, that was a huge influence. But I think, you know, I'm an only child. I think a lot of the stuff for me was just really getting lost in these worlds because I had to kind of occupy myself quite a bit of the time.
I think that was a lot of it for me too, in the sense that growing up my family moved a lot,
right?
Like we lived in a lot of houses and we moved, like I was always changing schools and things like that. And when you're a kid, you're not really developing these, like there's people with these friendships from when they were in like in grade school,
right?
And I don't have that because I was moving all the time. So I feel like movies were my friends back then.
Totally, I totally agree.
In the sense that they were always there for me, they were always reliable, and I could, like, you know, shut myself off and go into these worlds like you're saying.
Yeah.
And that's important too. I think that's also what's contributed to this lifelong thing that I have going on.
Yeah.
Because, you know, I'm not going to say that I was a shut-in as a kid because, you know, I did what every kid did. I went out in the morning, played all day, came in at night. But when your family is transplanting itself so much and you're switching school so much, you have to have something constant and consistent in your life.
Yeah.
And for me, that was movies.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, cause you know, I feel like that's also why I ended up seeing a lot of the things I did, in the sense that, you know, we would go to the drive-in a lot too, like a family night thing where we'd end up going driving, because it in the 80s drive-ins were huge, right? Like obviously I'd love to have been alive in the 50s, 60s and 70s when drive-ins were the shit, but the 80s drive-ins were still cool, not like today where there's barely any around. But I remember some of those double bills I used to see at the drive-ins.
Really,
right?
Eh?
Oh yeah, like I remember seeing like Overboard with Kurt Russell and Goldie Hawn.
God, what's with you and Kurt Russell and Overboard?
Because he's fucking awesome.
Not Overboard.
Yeah, well, you know, paired up with Spaceballs.
Ugh,
so
yeah.
Spaceballs and Overboard together. I remember seeing Witches
it's like the double feature from hell.
I remember seeing Witches of Eastwick with Moving with Richard Pryor.
Moving was a good one.
I like the part in Moving where they're like, they're buying the house and the people keep saying, "We're taking it with us." And they're just laughing. And then when they finally get to the house, they have taken everything they said they're going to take with them. Like the pool. "Oh, this pool's great." He's like, "Yeah, we just put in new tiles and everything, but we're taking it with us." And then when they show up at the house, there's just a dirt hole in the ground.
I want to see some of those Richard Pryor movies.
And Randy Quaid played the neighbor and he had this big, obnoxious, loud lawnmower that he used to come out and cut just the little tiny strip of the yard with. I remember seeing that at the drive-in. I remember seeing Back to the Future at the drive-in.
Really?
I can't honestly tell you what that was paired with, but I remember seeing Back to the Future. I actually have two double memories of Back to the Future, in the sense that I remember seeing Back to the Future at the drive-in when it was a big deal. Loved it. Still love the movie. I know you don't quite have the same... You don't feel the same about it.
It's like the dead snow of sci-fi movies.
Yeah, well, whatever. And my other memory of...
Wow. Sorry, I'll take that one back.
You're going to probably get... Yeah, you really are a douche now, I guess. But the other memory I have of Back to the Future is that my girlfriend and I, when we first started seeing each other, the second date we ever went on was we went and saw Back to the Future on an outdoor screen.
Right.
In a park. Like, this was 3 years ago, 3.5 years, almost 4 years ago now. But it was super cool because it was a movie that I had loved as a kid and she had loved as a kid. And we got to both go and see it together at the beginning of this fledging relationship. Oh, it's kind of a sweet story.
Oh, my God.
I know. I have feelings.
Oh, my God. But, hold on.
But the
The
funniest thing is she still busts my balls about Back to the Future because it was a cold night. And we were lying on a blanket, and I was being too gentlemanly, and I wouldn't warm her up. I was
With what?
I wouldn't hug her to keep her warm or anything, because it was still such a new relationship that I was like, I'm not going to go there yet.
Oh, you're such a pussy.
I'll take that. I'll take that. On that one, yes. I fully admit it. But going back to drive-ins, did you used to go to drive-ins a lot?
No.
No, why not?
I don't remember anything about the drive-in.
You never went.
I don't think so. I remember
fucking going to the drive-in in the 2000s.
The only one I remember seeing is The Man with One Red Shoe.
With Tom Hanks.
Yeah.
Wow, that's a bad movie.
Oh, and I remember seeing The Firm, but I was in my 20s at that point.
What?
The Firm with Tom Cruise?
Were you going for Were you going for a makeout session?
No, it's with a bunch of dudes.
Funniest thing is the last time I went to the drive-in, which was in 2004, I had fully intentions of a makeout. Because the girl I was seeing at the time, I was like, oh, let's go to the drive-in, you know? Wink, wink, nudge, nudge. You know what happens at the drive-in, right? We go to see... It was a weird pairing. The first movie was The Lost World, Jurassic Park.
Right.
So part two. We watched that. It wasn't a good movie. And I was like, oh, yeah. It's almost makeout time. It's getting really dark now, right? She falls asleep. I'm like, well... Might as well watch the second movie. Second movie was fucking Liar Liar with Jim Carrey.
Oh my God.
And I watched the whole goddamn thing.
Really? And she was asleep?
And she slept through the whole
thing. Oh, how depressing.
I know. I should have just let the finger slip. But, you know, I'm not a rapist.
So. Don't give so many roofies, man.
Yeah, next time I know. Dosage in half. Dosage in half. Bad Chris. Bad Chris. Cut down that dosage.
Yeah, no, it's weird, man. I don't have a lot of driving memories. I wish I did. I mean, I really wish I did.
Well, they're lost now.
Yeah. Well, there's that one. There's one in Vancouver still.
Yeah, there's still one around. But really, are you going to go see the movies they're playing?
No.
I always thought the coolest idea for a drive-in is now, if you're going to have a drive-in, make it all retro. I don't think it would fly where we are.
No, it would not.
But if you could make a drive-in like it used to be, where you have a drive-in and then every weekend you play two kind of culty B movies, that would be fun.
No, I think if someone in Los Angeles got on that it would be a hit. But
like, that would be fun.
Yeah.
You know, you show like some of these movies we've talked about.
I know, you do it here, there'd be three cars that would show up. So.
Yeah, and I'd be one of them.
Yeah, I know, that would be fun, but...
Yeah, I remember having a lot of drive-in memories, and, you know, I remember seeing certain movies. The only reason I really still love them is because I saw them in theaters when I was a kid. Like, a prime example of this, and we've talked about this movie in the past, and you made fun of me in the past about this movie, is Ernest Goes to Camp.
God almighty.
I saw that in theaters. And the story behind that is my family was on a houseboat vacation. Houseboats were a big thing in Ontario. You would get your family into these boats and go out on the river and go through locks. And we would stop at towns at nighttime sometimes. And the big deal for us was we were in this small town in the middle of nowhere, but fuck Ontario. And we went to see Ernest Goes to Camp. And because I'd been trapped on this houseboat with my parents and my sister, and I wasn't having that much fun, Ernest Goes to Camp was like the best escape humanly possible at the time.
My God.
Yeah.
Poor you, brother.
But I've seen it since, and I still like it.
It's because it's nostalgia, man.
I guess so. Which is basically what this whole thing's about, is nostalgia.
Yeah.
But another reason I remember, and this isn't really like, another thing I can remember as to why I'm still into movies the way I am, like I was talking about E.T. and then seeing all those like fantastical movies growing up, is that there was a time frame where I didn't have cable TV. Mm-hmm. So my entertainment was watching movies. You know, like I had lots of movies I had on video. We're not talking about video, but this is another contributing factor. And I think because I had was shut away from TV for so many years and did have to rely on movies, that also contributed to why I'm still into the movies the way I am now.
So what got you like what's your favorite part of the like theatrical experience? Like, because you don't buy popcorn. That's always weirded me out.
No, I just pilfer off of my girlfriend now.
No, but if I go to a movie with you, you never buy popcorn.
No, I never buy popcorn. What's up with that? It's too expensive.
Okay, because I like associate popcorn with the movie. I have to.
Well, that's...
Even if I don't want it, I have to get popcorn.
Well, that's just like my girlfriend.
Right.
She has to buy popcorn. She can't not buy popcorn. And I think it's because I don't really remember buying popcorn when I was a kid. Really. But it's also too expensive. Like, if you're paying $10+ for a movie ticket, I don't want to pay another $8 for popcorn.
But it's part of the experience. I guess I just wrap it all into $20 to go to the movies.
I know. For me, the experience is being able to be in a dark theater and seeing a movie on a big screen with good sound and everything. And you know, and a lot of my theater experiences nowadays that I've enjoyed the most have not been new movies. Like when we went and saw The Warriors, for example.
Yeah.
We went and saw The Warriors about, what, 5 years ago?
Yeah.
And it was an old 35mm print. It was scratchy and kind of grainy. And the experience of that was awesome because it felt like you were watching a Grindhouse movie almost. But the crowd was so into it.
Yeah.
They were laughing along with it. And, you know, sometimes people would say something like, when he's doing The Warriors, come out to play. Yay. People joined in that. And they did have a guy introducing the movie and that. And it's just that it's like a community experience.
Yeah.
Is what I like getting out of movies. I mean, I fucking hate it usually when people talk during movies. But in a movie like that, I wasn't that bothered by it because it was like a community. You were with people who were movie fans, because people who aren't movie fans aren't going to go see a movie that's 15 years old in a theater.
No.
You know, like, you know, you're with your kin there. Whereas with the new blockbusters, it's just something to do for a lot of teenagers. Like when you were a kid, something to do would be to go to the movies.
Yeah.
Only these days, teenagers are too distracted with their goddamn cell phones.
They're just trying to stay up on the latest stuff.
Yeah, like, you know, it's their cell phones during the movie, or it's like, oh, I got to see this movie because everyone's going to see it.
Yeah.
You know, it's different. It's different culture.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I mean, the theatrical experience has changed so much, too. I mean, the cell phone thing. I find people in the theaters aren't as respectful to the film anymore.
No, people talk too much.
A lot of talking, a lot of loud popcorn eating, a lot of kicking the chairs. I mean, all that stuff that that they warn you about at the beginning of the movie, don't be this person, don't be that person. Those people actually exist, right?
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's just hard. Like, I just look at some of the movie listings in L.A. I'd love to be living down there for a while because I think that's where you'd get what you're talking about.
Yep.
Unfortunately, here, you do a film screening, five people come.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's pretty rare that you get experience like we had with The Warriors, right?
Yeah, very rare.
I mean, I'd love to. God, if there was a repertory theater here that was playing cool movies, I'd be there all the time. But it's also kind of depressing when you go and there's only four people in the audience.
Well, that...
I clearly remember going to see Smokey and the Bandit in a theater like that. And it was literally me and my friend and two other people.
I would have gone to Smokey and the
it
Bandit.
It was brutal.
I didn't. If you did, I know you at the time.
No.
Oh, that's too bad. I would have gone to Smokey and the Bandit in a friggin' drop of a hat.
Yeah.
Do you want to get me in a theater easy enough? Play Cannonball Run and Smokey and the Bandit back to back, and I'm there.
I know, but if you did that, it wouldn't work. Now, it might work down in L.A., but I mean, I'd love to experience a lot of these movies with a crowd. I mean, I think that's one of the best parts of going to a movie.
Mm-hmm.
Another thing that's always resonated with me is when you go to a movie and there's people that were involved in the making of the movie. I mean, I have a lot of interest in the making of movies. I mean, I'm still kind of obsessed with it, even though I've kind of been involved with it myself, even though I was involved in the movie industry a bit. I still can't get away from the fact that I love the art of making a movie. So I really like going to a screening where there's actually people there. And, you know, there's a few I've been to.
Well, it's like an added bonus, right?
Yeah. I mean, I remember when going to Charlie's for Manson Family when Jim Van Beber introduced it. Like, so cool. Remember going to see Satan's Little Helper when Jeff Lieberman introduced it. Really cool. Remember the Blood and Donuts movie? I remember going in the lead actor,
Gordon Curry,
and the director were there. I remember going to see Masters of Horror premiered and Mick Garris was there. Like, I really have a strong memory of that stuff, but unfortunately a lot of that doesn't happen here either.
I also feel like now with the way things go in movies, there's not as much respect because nowadays people just go online and get what they want.
Yeah.
And don't have to work for it.
No.
And I don't feel like those kind of people are true fans. Like, for me, if I found out, say, for example, a movie I really love is coming to town, an older movie, and the director is going to be there, if I can get out to see that, I will. But I feel like this day and age, in this area that we live in, not a lot of people are going to do that, like you said.
No.
And that's unfortunate.
No.
Because why wouldn't you want to do that? Like, it doesn't make sense to me. Why would you want to sit at home in front of your 50-inch TV and watching a movie that you illegally downloaded instead of going to a theater with a bunch of like-minded people who are into that kind of stuff, watch the movie, and then get a chance to ask the guy who made it questions afterwards?
Oh, yeah.
Why wouldn't you want to do that?
Yeah. But the whole thing's changed so much. I mean, I put an article up on my Facebook a while ago about people who laugh in movies.
Yeah.
And it's about, like, how hipsters are going to... Sorry, hipsters. But how they're going to movies and, like, I guess they're feeling like they're above, you know, the Ray Harryhausen and effects.
Yeah, I've been hearing that, too, from a lot of various places saying, like, you know, oh, we went... They were showing, like, a movie like Jaws or something, and people are laughing at the effects and stuff. And it's like, be fucking respectful.
It's because, yeah, I remember I went to this movie screening once, and it was at the film festival here, and it was a movie called Nadja. Have you ever seen it? It's a vampire
movie. I've heard
of
it.
Michael Almereyda is the director. It was this really cool black and white Peter Fonda vampire movie.
Isn't, who's Nadja in it? Is it Isabella Rossellini? Or
no, I don't know.
It's not the movie I'm thinking of.
No.
I know the movie, though.
Anyway, I went to this movie, and I remember this so vividly. The director went up, and he introduced the movie. And I remember him going, and I never really got what happened here, like what, but it's I remember this. He went up and said, okay, so, yeah, so anyway, this movie's super dark and depressing and, you know, kind of something to the effect of, and a real emotional roller coaster. So, anyway, go ahead and laugh if you want. And I remember thinking, whoa, okay, you know, and then he was supposed to come back for afterwards to do a Q&A. But as the movie was playing, it was pretty dark and depressing, and people were laughing throughout. And I found that in a lot of movies here. And anyway, at the Q&A, the director was gone. I guess he left. But I've never understood that. Like, how do you go? I remember going to Once Were Warriors. You know that movie, New Zealand movie?
That's a great movie.
Again, super, like, kind of dark subject matter. Mm-hmm. And people were, like, chuckling. You know, whenever it got tense, you'd hear laughing. And such a weird thing.
Well, sometimes that's a defense mechanism for people, but...
It is, but it shouldn't be that much.
No.
Like... It's weird. So, I don't know. I don't know what my point was there, but I can see how it, like, it definitely has affected my experience. And I don't go to a lot of film festival movies anymore because, and I don't know if, I think it might be a Vancouver thing.
Well, that can't be particularly true because a couple of years ago, I went to two movies during the film festival. I went to see Sessions with Helen Hunt.
Right.
Which was a drama, and, you know, the crowd was respectful for that movie. And I also saw Grabbers, which is a great Irish monster movie. And the crowd for that was amazing. Like, they were having a great time.
In Vancouver. Interesting.
And they were having a great time, and there was no issues with people being, you know, jerks during it or being, like, very disrespectful
I'm surprised it had a crowd.
Oh, it was almost sold out, dude.
Wow.
Yeah.
So how does that happen? And then we have a Grindhouse Film Festival with the Beyond and Pieces and all that stuff where no one goes.
I think it all has to do with the way they advertise, maybe.
Yeah.
Because it's a film festival. People are always go to film festival, right? You might not particularly go to a Grindhouse thing because I didn't really know about it till it had already been, like, not long before it was happening. I didn't even hear about it. Like, someone on my Facebook shared a link to it or whatever. And then I'm like, oh, I didn't even know these movies were coming, right? Like you never, it's not given enough exposure out here. And maybe that's why Vancouver, but I just find Vancouver itself is just a no. It's too, people are looking too hard to be ironic out here.
Yeah.
They're not appreciating movies the way that I appreciate movies, I think. Like, they're not looking at them for being you know, what they are, creativity and art and whatever. They're just looking at like, oh, look at this. This looks so dated.
Yeah.
You know, like, oh, the special effects in this. Huh? I'd rather go see fucking Avengers, you know, like.
Yeah.
That's the thing. Like, I was listening to a podcast, another podcast, where the guy was like, I don't like black and white movies, so I won't watch them. I'm like, really, dude? Like, come on. Like, this reminds me of a story about...
But again, is that because we grew up with black and white movies?
No, it can't be. There's movies still coming out black and white that are great.
Right, but I mean, like, I have no problem with black and white. Like, none at all, right?
But yeah.
I could see if someone had never seen a black and white
but
movie.
But I feel like if you're going to not watch a movie based on the fact that it's in black and white, you are not really a movie fan.
Or if it's got subtitles. Yeah, that's the other one.
Yeah, like subtitles. Like the story I'm about to tell. I went and saw Pan's Labyrinth in theaters when it came out. And, you know, it's a Mexican movie by Guillermo del Toro. It's got subtitles because
yeah.
It's in Spanish. Movie starts, okay? Black screen. Subtitles on the bottom. I hear someone go, this movie better be in English.
Are you serious?
Yeah. Why would you not fucking research the movie you're going to see?
So what did the person do?
They left.
No.
They left.
Oh my God.
They left right before the people who brought a four-year-old to Pan's Labyrinth left. Come on, people.
That's wicked, man.
Do your fucking research. I remember the ads for the movie, an adult fairy tale.
Yeah.
Not a four-year-old fairy tale, an adult fairy tale.
Right.
It just pisses me off. Like,
that's pretty funny.
Like, this better be in English. I've had, like, I hate having bad experiences at the movies. Like when I went and tried to go see Eastern Promises, David Cronenberg movie, Eastern yeah. Promises, the projector bulb failed in the
right.
first 20 minutes, and they had to replace it, and then they refused to start the movie over.
Really?
Yeah.
Weird.
So they played the movie, it was fine for about 2 minutes, projector bulb failed, black screen, but dialogue still going on. 20 minutes. They fixed the bulb. We're like, great, now we can watch the movie. They're like, we're not starting it over. We
wow.
have to keep on schedule.
Right.
So everyone was like, fuck this, left and got their money back. Why would you do that?
Yeah, that's weird.
You know, I've had projector bulbs go before. Like, you wouldn't have that issue now because everything's kind of digital now. But when I went and saw District 9, a movie you admittedly dislike, but the projector bulb went. But at least they started that movie over when I saw that one.
Oh, lucky
you. Like I've had bad experiences.
So you had to sit through it twice for you.
Same thing with when I went and saw Alfred Hitchcock's. This is a story that blows my mind. So we go see Alfred Hitchcock's Psycho. $5 to go see it.
I was with you.
Were you with me on that
yeah,
one?
Yeah, we went to Psycho.
Okay, so $5
yeah.
to get into that one, right?
Yeah.
You know, lots of really like great movie. One of probably Hitchcock's best movie. Apart from maybe Rear Window.
Yeah, we got a refund. Why?
We got a refund because the picture went out in the last 90 seconds and everybody went and complained.
Yeah.
Why?
Wow.
It's 90 seconds.
Yeah.
Who
yeah.
cares?
Yeah, I remember there was some guy handing out free vouchers.
Yeah, we ended up
after.
Getting free tickets because people went and complained.
Yeah.
Why?
That's pretty funny. So what drives you crazy in the theater? So for me, it's like, not, you know, in addition to the like cell phones and the talking,
yeah,
one thing is the guy who like puts the popcorn in his hand and then like rolls it into his mouth drives me bananas.
I've seen that.
You know that? They just,
I hate,
like, roll their paws.
I also hate hearing the clunking of people dropping their garbage on the floor when they're done with it. Like, I'm done with my fucking drink. Boom.
Yeah.
And they throw their
what's up with that?
Container on the floor. It's like, first of all, you're being a fucking litter bug. Second of all, why?
Yeah, it's like, because I can throw.
It's like, really?
And then another,
you're
going
to make some 16-year-old have to clean that theater out after you're done because you're a dickhead?
Well, I guess they're giving him a job.
Whatever.
Another popcorn one is the open mouth eater of the popcorn. You know, where they like throw the popcorn, and it's like, and he can hear the popcorn in their mouth. Oh, I hate that too.
I hate being with like, I hate being by people who are like, don't understand what's going on in a movie and have to ask the person with them what's happening all the time.
Yeah.
When it's like, I went and saw the most basic movie once. I don't remember what the movie was, but the plot was like not very hard to figure out. And the person behind me didn't get what the hell was going on for half the movie. And then when they did figure out what was going on the entire movie, they started just like telling people what they thought was going to happen next.
Oh, fuck.
Oh, she's going to get with him next.
Oh, my God.
This is going to happen.
Or like, he's the killer.
Yeah.
And it's just like right before your brain's sort of realizing the same thing.
Yeah.
But you're not quite there.
That'd be like
me. And then the idiot behind you goes, she's, and then you're like, you fucker. What do you mean?
That'd be like me going and seeing like Sixth Sense at the time and being like, he's dead, everybody. Cha, 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 cha.
I hate that. Yeah. The one who has to like verbalize what they think's going on.
I also hate waiting for a movie and the people coming out before you fucking are talking about the movie and fucking have spoilers. That drives me crazy too.
Yeah.
Like, oh, they so-and-so died. And you're like, fuck you.
Or the friend who sits beside you and like talks through the whole movie. I remember I went to see the movie Contact.
Yeah.
That Jodie Foster movie. I really like that movie. Yeah. But I remember with this guy and the whole movie, blah, 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 blah. And after the movie was over, we were like walking out of the theater. I'm like, if I wanted the fucking commentary, I would have bought the DVD.
Yeah, it's like if we go to a movie, how often do we talk to each other?
Never.
Like every once in a while, I might like
it's
lean
rare.
Over,
it's
I
like,
might lean over to you every once in a while and say like one or two words, but generally, no. And you know, it drives me crazy when you hear people just blabbering through the whole goddamn thing.
Yeah.
It's like, why don't you watch it at home?
Yeah, like, what are you proving by, like, revealing? Like, are you trying to show how smart you are by, like, calling it before the other people, before we actually
that
see it?
That bus is eventually going to go under 50 miles per hour. Called it. Called it. There's going to be an explosion.
That's wicked.
Like, seriously, come on, people.
So
it's like okay, another story about people coming out of theaters. Did you go to Hobo with a Shotgun with me? Were you with me?
Probably.
Okay, well, we went to see Hobo with a Shotgun, Jason Eisner's gem.
Yeah, yeah.
Great movie. Rutger Hauer owns it.
Yeah.
Totally what I wanted from a movie. I'm walking out of the movie and I hear a guy behind me go, well, that was stupid.
Oh, yeah, I think that.
I felt like turning around and going, dude, you just saw a movie called Hobo with a Shotgun. What were you expecting?
I know.
Like, come on.
I know. I
come
know.
On. I just, sometimes I just get so mad going to movie theaters.
Oh, I know.
And I can't help it because the experience of going to movie theaters I enjoy more than sitting at home by myself.
I know, but it's just rare that you get that crowd where it's the right crowd.
Well, yeah.
Like you said, you've gotten it a few times, but I find it to be quite rare.
Yeah. I've actually found like a lot of movies I go to because they're not blockbuster movies and they're more geared towards an adult crowd. And they're only usually playing in a handful of theaters when they come out. Those crowds are usually respectful. Because those crowds are the people who are there for the movie.
Right.
Because if you want to see a movie, you're not going to go to a movie that's only playing in four theaters. You're not going to have to make the effort to go see it unless you're really into seeing it or you're really into movies, right? Like, you're going to be like those teenagers and go to whatever's playing on 3,000 screens that weekend.
Yeah.
You know, you're not going to go out of your way to like travel. Like this weekend when I went and saw Me and Earl and a Dying Girl. It's playing in one theater in all of this area. I had to drive 40 minutes to get there. So, you know, the crowd there, totally respectful.
Yeah.
Because if you want to see a movie that badly, if you're a movie fan, you're not going to go to a movie and be a jackass if it's only playing in one or two theaters, hopefully.
It'll be interesting because I'm really excited about going to see the Jaws re-release, and it'll be really interesting what happens there.
Well, I'm hoping we don't get the hecklers. Cause,
yeah.
I mean, I can admit that the Bruce effects are a little bit dated.
Yeah.
But still a great movie.
Well, that's why Bruce is barely in the movie.
Man, it's a great movie.
Yeah.
It's not about the shark. It's about the characters. You know, it's about Brody and Quint.
Yeah.
You know, it's really is.
Or about Hooper.
Well, Hooper too, but...
Poor Hooper.
Poor Hooper. He always gets overshadowed by Brody and Quint, man. You got to admit.
Throw him in the cage and get him out of the scene.
Come on, get out. Get the fuck out of here, Richard Dreyfuss. Nobody needs you. Why don't you go star in Piranha or something? Fuck.
I've got a funny story about Jaws 3.
3D?
Yeah. I really wanted to see Jaws 3D when I was young.
Yeah.
So what was that? Was 83, right?
Yeah, 83.
Okay.
Same year as Friday the 13th, part 3 in 3D.
I was like 11. Yeah. So my dad wouldn't take me to a lot of horror movies. And I really wanted to see this one. So I convinced the lot guy at my dad's car dealership, who was this like somewhat yappy Fijian guy.
This is
like,
not good.
So he's like kind of like, hey.
This is not going good.
He was super awesome. Love the guy. But anyway, I convinced him to take
me. Could you do an impression of him again for a second?
It's like, hey.
It reminds me of like some frigging crazy toothless homeless guy.
Well, kind of like that, you know, like a kind of yappy black guy. Like not a cool Fred Williamson black guy. Like kind of like the Antonio
kind
Fargas.
Kind of like Sanford.
Antonio Fargas.
Oh, okay.
That's kind of what I think of.
Sanford's from Sanford and Sons.
Yeah, kind of like that. Yeah.
Okay, okay.
That kind of yappy. Anyway, I convinced him to take me to Jaws 3D at this theater downtown in Vancouver. And we had to go because it was R-rated. He had to pretend he was my dad.
It was R-rated in Canada because it was only PG.
Yeah, well, I couldn't get in. I knew that much. Anyway, I had this black guy pretending he's my dad. It was pretty funny.
He's like, this is my son, honest.
I got to see it, though.
And how was it?
I liked it. I mean, but I was...
Try and watch it now.
I was 11.
Try and watch it now.
Yeah, well, I mean, I'm...
Okay. Hang on. Let me backstep a little bit on this one. Jaws 3 has two things going for it. Number one, it's got Leah Thompson as a water skier.
Oh, you and Leah Thompson.
Back then, yes. And number two...
No.
Number two, who else is in it?
Lou Gossett Jr.
Anything with Lou Gossett Jr. in it. In the 80s is gold. Come on. Iron Eagle, gold.
Yeah.
The principal, gold. And the principal has the onus of having James Belushi in it.
Yeah. And Officer and Gentleman.
Hell yeah.
He was awesome in
He's
that.
He's awesome.
That's
in
pretty awesome.
That's
movie.
A great movie. But I mean, for like.
No one ever talks about that movie. What's up with that?
Because everyone's too enamored with Iron Eagle, boy.
No, but seriously, like Officer and Gentleman is such a great movie and no one talks about it anymore.
I love Officer and Gentleman.
It's one of those ones, you know? It just.
Well, it's kind of like
the cracks.
You ever seen Taps?
I've never seen Taps. I haven't,
that's also
I haven't
another somewhere. One that's really good that no one really talks about.
Yeah, it's weird.
Maybe it's that military thing.
Have you ever seen The Lords of Discipline?
I don't think so.
That was a good one. That was the David Keith. You know David Keith?
Yeah.
He was an Officer and a Gentleman.
Oh yeah, David Keith.
And he was in Heartbreak Hotel.
But loves David Keith.
He not Keith David.
I know who David Keith is. He's a white boy.
You're talking about Keith in a black voice.
I'm doing Keith David. Talk about David Keith. I would get them too confused. Keith, he's a cool white boy.
Your voice is too high to be Keith David.
Okay, so, here, boy. Where's Ride Around a Pop Rat?
I really hope. I've seen Keith David in Percy. You better hope you never run into him.
If I did see him in person, I'd go up to him and be like, dude, that backdrop that you gave to Roddy Piper and They Live, awesome. That's all I would do.
Okay, what are we talking about?
You'd be like, solid.
We're talking about the Lords of Discipline.
Yeah.
Okay, so it's David Keith, and he's like this guy, and it's like a military school movie. It's a black guy at this military academy. It's a bunch of racists. It's a really good movie. Yeah.
So it's like School Ties only with military.
It is. It's a really good movie. School Ties.
School Ties is actually a pretty good movie too.
Yeah, but it ripped off this movie. Which
did
is,
they? Is
which
that
is
what it
far
is?
Far superior.
What year is this Lords of Discipline?
83.
Okay, I'll have to check that out.
Check it. It was right after Officer and Gentleman. It was David Keith.
Oh, okay. I'll have to...
Not Keith David,
boy. Anyway, another couple of movie things I wanted to talk about, like for memories, is one of the coolest movie memories for me, and it's not because of the movie. It's just the situation.
Right.
Is in 1997, I went on a trip to Houston, Texas, and I saw Texas Chainsaw Massacre, the beginning in theaters.
Oh, God.
I'm not saying it's a good movie, but the fact that I was in Texas.
That's pretty cool.
Watching a Texas Chainsaw Massacre movie, I was like over the moon. I was like, holy shit, I'm totally watching a Leatherface movie in Texas. What if I was to leave this theater right now and I ran into like Gunnar Hansen or something? I would lose my mind.
Yeah, it's too bad you were watching the, like...
I know.
Leather...
Leather tranny.
Yeah.
Leather tranny.
Leather tranny.
Vroom, vroom, boys. Vroom, vroom.
God.
And actually, one of... Another movie memory I have that was cool was... was for... What are you laughing about? Leather tranny, baby.
Why did they do that?
What, make him into a... He was always dressed in women's clothes.
Not in part one.
Yes, he did.
When?
When he
Oh yeah,
he was okay. Wearing the apron and the dress in the kitchen. But they made that part of it just very, very, very blatant in the fourth one. Although I did like Matthew McConaughey in that movie.
With his weird leg.
Yeah. And it's actually the only time I can think of liking Matthew McConaughey until I saw Dallas Buyers Club. So
he was getting dazed and confused.
Yeah. Girls, man. You know why I like young girls? They stay the same. You get older and they stay the same age. Oh, yeah. Oh, Matthew McConaughey. I love Dazed and Confused. I think I got to watch that again.
Oh, you know what? You're going to be away.
What's
this weekend? There's
Oh, is it playing at the late show?
It's something. Oh, no. It's American Graffiti.
Yep.
Dazed and Confused. Yep. And Reanimator.
God, that's a good triple bill. Although Reanimator doesn't really fit in there.
It doesn't, but
you know what they should have done? They should have done American Graffiti, Dazed and Confused, and American Pie.
Yeah, that'd be good. I've just seen Dazed and Confused so much, I'm just kind of like, I don't know if I want to see it again.
American Graffiti would be great to see.
Yeah, I might go check out American Graffiti.
That'd be great to see on a big screen, because that's George Lucas's best movie, and I don't care what anyone says.
Yeah, I think I might go to that one, but...
I also have a good movie memory of going to see My Bloody Valentine 3D.
Aw,
because it's the first time Josh and I saw
each
other.
It was our first date.
It was our first date. It's funny, though, because the story behind that is that he had been writing for the website for a while at the time, but I'd never met him face to face, and I really had no excuse because I only lived about 40 minutes away from
him. Dude, we were going to the same concert and you wouldn't meet me.
We went to Iron Maiden and I wouldn't meet up with him because I had such social anxieties. I used to have a lot of social anxieties when I was stuck in a bad situation. I don't have them as much anymore.
No.
I'm still like a little bit antisocial because I've always been in my entire life. But I won advanced tickets to My Bloody Valentine 3D. And I was like, I invited Josh to it. And so we're like, yeah. So that's the first time we met. So that's a kind of a cool movie memory for me, too.
Oh, it was.
I know. And then we hugged after.
Oh, we did.
I bought popcorn for the first time ever.
Did you buy popcorn?
Put a hole in it.
Oh, fuck. No. Oh, man. Like, sorry, everyone. I'm like, I'm on codeine today.
You're always on codeine.
No, usually I'm on cold medicine, but today I'm on codeine and drinking. But anyway, what about going to movies by yourself? What do you think of that?
I don't really like it, but I have done it in the past. I can actually name you three movies right off the top of my head that I went and saw by myself because either A, I couldn't get anyone to go with me, or B, I just really wanted to go.
It's true, because I also have quite strong memories of movies I've gone to.
Like,
and I've only gone to a few. Same thing.
I went to Beavis and Butthead Do America by myself.
Really?
Because nobody wanted to go with me.
Right.
And that one has a terrible story attached to it, and the fact that when I was going to the movie theater, it was pouring out like torrential rain, and I got a flat tire, and I had to change my tire of my car on the side of the road in the middle of this rainstorm before I could go see the movie.
Oh my God.
It was terrible. And then I also went and saw Bill and Ted's Bogus Journey by myself.
That's funny. Beavis and Butthead and Bill and Ted.
Yeah, because nobody would go.
So did you go see Wayne's World 2 by yourself, too?
I'm seeing a trend, though, aren't I? And then the other movie I went to was simply because I had a day off work. It was midweek. It was playing in matinee, and I didn't know anyone who wanted to go. I went and saw Super 8 by myself.
Wow.
Like, that's the most recent one.
That would have been all right, though.
Super 8's a great movie.
You know, it's interesting, because whenever I think of going to a movie by myself, I'm not into it. I'm like, fuck that. I don't want to go to that movie.
I'm totally not into it. If I want to watch a movie by myself, I can do it at home.
But the thing is, okay, so the first one I remember going to by myself was Night 90. I remember I was in Winnipeg, and me and my dad went to the theater together.
But you went to separate movies?
But he didn't want to go to Night 90, and I really wanted to go
to
Night.
What is the movie?
Night of the Living Dead 90.
Oh, okay.
The Savini one.
Okay.
So I went to that.
You know, I didn't know what you meant when you said Night 90.
Night 90.
Well, you could have said the full... Yeah, I didn't know what the hell you
were talking
about.
I thought everyone knew Night 90 meant Night of the Living Dead.
I didn't.
So, listeners...
Night of the Living Dead, Tom Savini.
Did you know that I meant Night of the Living Dead 90? Okay, so I really remember...
I guess I'm clueless.
I really remember... No. Maybe I'm just too cool.
Yeah, you're hipster cool, man.
So, maybe... So, I really remember going to that one. And I really remember going to see It Follows.
Oh, yeah.
Again, I went to that by myself, but I totally remember it. I went to see El Topo by myself.
Totally. That is a hell of a movie to go see by yourself.
Yeah.
Wow.
Actually, most of the theater was dudes by themselves.
Really? I would totally have went with you if I knew you at the time.
No, that was recently. That was like last year.
Oh, I couldn't go to that. That was at the Cinematheque.
Yeah, man.
I couldn't go to that. I had to work that night. That's what it was.
Really?
I wanted to go badly.
Yeah, that was good, man. But, like, it's funny because, like, the thought of going to a movie by myself, I don't like.
It doesn't appeal to me.
But whenever I do it, I always have a really good time.
Have you ever done the thing where you've gone to, like, a double up where you go to two movies in one day? Have you ever done that? Where you go to a movie and then you come out and you're like, I'm going to go see another one.
I have a hard time with that.
Because I remember doing that when I saw, I went and saw A League of Their Own.
Oh.
Which I hated.
Well, Hanks isn't that. That's all right.
There's no crying in baseball. I hated it. And then I went and saw, I can't remember what the second movie is, but because I had such a bad taste in my mouth from A League of Their Own, I decided to go see another movie. And I remember liking it, and I don't know if I liked it simply because I didn't like the movie before and I was trying to make up for it or what.
That's funny.
And I you know, I remember like little snippets of things like going to see Child's Play 3 in theaters and feeling like I was the only person in the theater who actually thought it was okay.
Were you by yourself?
I went with a buddy, but I think I was the only person who seemed to like it in the entire theater.
I always want to, like, I you know, even talking about it, I want to go just to more movies by myself, but I can't get over that thing that everyone's looking at me. But
well, everyone's like, look at that guy. What a loser. No friends.
Well, I don't know. Maybe because when I go to movies and I see people by himself, I'm thinking, what a loser. But
oh, I just thought of another movie by myself story that's actually creepy as shit.
We don't want to hear about you going to a porno theater.
No.
Pee-wee.
No. That was a peep show. That's not really a movie. I went and saw Halloween Resurrection by myself.
Really?
And it was a 4 o'clock matinee. And there was only me and one other person in the theater. And the other person in the theater was this really creepy-looking old guy who was really white. Like, he looked albino-ish. And he laughed during the kill scenes.
Weird.
It was the most bizarre thing ever. I spent that whole movie kind of watching him out of the corner of my eye, thinking, wondering if he was going to come over and try and kill me.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. No, that was creepy as hell.
Okay, so don't go to, like, shitty slasher movies by myself. Yes.
Well, you know, I think if he would have came at me near the end of the movie, I would have just bust out Busta Rhymes. So I'd be like, trick or treat, motherfucker. And knocked his head off with some kung fu or something.
Well, Sonny Chiba can teach you things.
No, so can Busta Rhymes, apparently. Certainly taught Michael Myers
wasn't
a thing.
Wasn't he
or
watching
two.
Street Fighter, though?
He could have been. I don't remember. I kind of blocked that movie out of my memory.
Oh, man.
Any movie with, like, Tyra Banks and Busta Rhymes fighting Michael Myers, kind of like...
Didn't we already talk... Oh, yeah, we had that Halloween episode.
We had a Halloween episode, and it was kind of made me realize I don't really care for that series, but...
No, I know. We really changed our tune.
I know.
Really changed our tune.
Do you have anything else that you can think of that you might want to bring up?
No.
No. Because I just feel... I just wanted to, like, talk a little bit about...
I got a bunch of stuff I can't read what I wrote last night. I know. Smart, right?
Are you on codeine again?
Yeah, as a matter of fact, I was.
So anyway, I think that's it.
I'm not a drug addict, everyone. I'm just...
Maybe that guy in Halloween Resurrection was.
Maybe.
Why would you laugh during kill scenes in a slasher movie?
Well, I don't know. People laugh. Maybe it's that uncomfortable laughter I was talking about.
No.
Vancouver.
No.
It's in Vancouver,
no,
right?
No, it wasn't in Vancouver.
Oh, it was in Ontario?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
This is not a nervous laughter this guy was doing. This is a, I'm relishing this laughter.
Well, like, why are you in the slasher movie?
What do you mean?
Well, aren't you there for the kill scenes?
Like, I'm there for the kill scenes, but I'm not there to take the kill scenes and have some weird perverted, like, jollies out of it.
What are you there for? Of course you are. Maybe he was just letting his freak flag fly.
I'm there for the creativity. Have you ever seen that one? What the fuck is it called? There's one where the killer smashes a vinyl record and stabs someone to death with the pieces of it.
In a Halloween movie?
No, I think it's called Fatal Dreams or something like that.
Okay.
It's a slasher movie. If anyone knows what that slasher movie is, I'd really like to know. So let me know.
Are you like trying to deflect from what I'm saying?
I'm saying I'm in it for the creativity, not for getting the jollies.
Okay.
Anyway, let's leave it on that note. Let's say goodbye on that pleasant note about someone being stabbed to death with a vinyl record.
Oh, I was really expecting we'd go watch a slasher movie and have a circle jerk.
So we can get over thoughts about, or thoughts of Josh thinking of me getting off on slasher movie deaths. We'll leave it at that, right? So I would like to hear some of your guys' favorite movie memories.
Yeah.
So why don't you head over to our Facebook page. Facebook.com/GBW podcast. Yeah. Don't do this again. Twitter @GBW podcast. And
I don't want them to break our Facebook page.
Yeah.
With the slew of comments.
Namaste. Namaste. since you guys have been so good at rating us on iTunes and writing reviews, let's keep that train a going.
Yeah.
Keep that train going.
So come on, other people that haven't done it yet. Please, you know who you are.
Hey, Josh, why don't we leave off with you doing your David Keith impersonation here?
My David Keith or my Keith David?
Hey, one or the other, man. I don't know. I get him confused all the time.
Dude, it's two. You're doing
it. Do it. No. Do it. Come on.
What, the Keith David?
No, the Keith David.
Yeah, the Keith David.
Yeah, ass to ass.
Anyway, until next time, my name's Chris. With me's Josh.
Ass to ass.
Ass to ass. Good night.